good morning. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. We are listener-supported non-commercial radio. Coming your way from Henry Ford College. And what do we have untapped today? We have another radio vault. You know that, right? We've got a gardening episode from Fibber McGee and Molly from 1937. Got a double dose of the Jack Benny Show from 1942. We're going to wrap it up today with a Tallulah Bankhead. And a little bit later, when this show is on the air, 1951, and we'll be hearing the April 1st edition of The Big Show with Tallulah Bankhead. That'll be a lot of fun to see what went on in radio over 70 years ago. Once again, if you just happened upon us, we are Radio Vault. We do this every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the p.m. Usually of a lighter nature, variety, some light drama. Today is no exception to that. What can we tell you about Fibber McGee and Molly? Well, they were based in Chicago. I think this might be an air check from their Chicago station, WMAQ. They started out selling Johnson Wax, and then they started this routine called Smackouts that they put on the radio. And lo and behold, that was the beginning of Fibber McGee and Molly back in the 30s. So this is a reasonably early episode from 1937, to be exact, April 5th of 1937. Well, if you're ready to dive in, I think I am. Let's do it, shall we?
The Johnson Wax Program with Ted Wayne's Orchestra and starring Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly. Ted Wayne's opens the show with this year's Kisses. Before he really gets into it, he'd like to discuss it pro and con with some other enthusiast. So, in a friendly attempt to find a congenial spirit, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Friends, with your kind permission, I'm going to ask a few of you to step up here to the microphone and give the folks listening in some idea of your hobby. Mine, I might add, is gardening. Madam, would you mind stepping up here to the microphone? No? Oh, come on. Come on. Come on up. Harpo will hold the baby for you. Come on. No? Oh, come on. Well, all right. Brother, you in the second row there, will you come up on the platform? That's it. Now just talk into the microphone here. A little closer. Fine. Now,
will you please tell us, sir, if you have a hobby of any kind?
Such as gardening?
Well, I knit.
Well, you what?
Did you say you nap, Bud?
Yes, that's right. I knit.
What is your name, please?
O'Shea. O-Teardrop, S-H-E-A, O'Shea.
What do you mean, teardrop?
Well, you know, I always think of an apostrophe as a little teardrop, don't you?
Oh, do tell. Well, I can't say it how it's ever exactly occurred to me that way, Bud. So you're a knitter, eh? What do you knit?
Oh, everything. Socks, mittens, sweaters, and stuff. I crochet, too, and tat.
Tataboy.
What do you expect to do with your knitting, Mr. O'Shea?
Oh, I hope to open a knitting shop sometime. I'm going to call it O'Shea's Crochet Shop.
How about the Shea's O'Shea? Kind of a slogan like this. Crochet? Okay. Sashay away to the Shea's O'Shea.
Goody, that's ducky. You know, just for that, I'm going to knit you a pair of mittens for your gardening.
Oh, don't do it. He's clumsy enough barehanded.
Much obliged, Bud. Did you ever consider gardening as a hobby yourself?
Me? I'm insane, not.
Oh.
Bugs on the roses and bees in your hair and mud on your knees, that's all you get. I think it's stupid. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, well, yeah. Certainly he'll excuse me.
Bugs in his bonnet. I'll try to pick out a gardener this time.
Well, now there's a familiar face. The foreign-looking gentleman in the third row, please.
Oh, yes.
What is your name, sir?
A little closer to the microphone, please, Doc.
Okay, Tavares.
A little farther away from the mic, please. There. Now, what was the name again?
What difference is name making for you?
Well, we just...
Rose by any other name would smell pretty good, too. My name is Nicholas Nikolovna Nikolai Nikolaevich.
Handle this guy carefully, Molly. He's full of the old Nick.
Have you a hobby, sir?
What is that, Babushka? What is hobby being?
A hobby, Vodka, is a sideline. Something you do for personal enjoyment. For your own happiness.
For my own happiness, Tavares, I am doing nyatting.
Oh.
Happiness is for bumblebells. Intelligent people just nyat for being happy. I wish to suffer.
Oh.
You wish to suffer, eh? Well, I think that can be arranged, Bud. But didn't you ever walk out into a garden as the dew was gleaming on the tender little bud of a rose? A lovely rose.
Roses are also for bumblebells, Tavares. I cannot suffer with roses.
Ah, well, you can always stick yourself with a thorn if you want to be like that.
Now you're talking, Babushka. I think you're having something there. Excuse me, please. I think I'm going back to listen to rest of the program.
Why, Bud? What's your hurry?
I wish to suffer.
Happiness is for dumbbells. Well, you should be practically in a state of ecstasy, McGee.
Why?
Well, never mind now. Will the gentleman with the spectacles step up to the microphone, please?
All
right. Thank you.
Now then, Bud, what is your hobby?
Stamps.
Postage stamps?
What other kind of stamps are there?
Well,
So you collect postage stamps, do you?
Yes.
Well, that must be very interesting.
Yes.
I suppose you learn a lot about history and geography and stuff, studying stamps, eh, Bud?
Yes.
You've been collecting them long?
Yes.
Does it take a lot of your time?
Yes.
If you ever got tired of stamps, Bud, would you ever think of taking up some other hobby, such as, maybe gardening?
No.
Well, that's a point, too, Bud. But think of what it means to get into closer touch with nature. To feel that you're responsible for each little sprout that peeps through the earth in the springtime. Wouldn't that give you a kind of a thrill?
No.
Well, what would?
Stamps.
Well, thanks, Bud. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bud, for that very interesting discourse on stamps. I'm sure we all realize what a lot of enjoyment and... Where are you going, Molly?
I'm going down and sit next to that Russian gentleman.
Why?
I'm going to help him suffer.
Oh, no. Hey, wait a minute. Perry Como is going to sing.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll stay right here, McGee.
darling, I spend this hour with you. In smoke dreams, here by a campfire, dreaming your clothes, this heart lives.
He isn't easily discouraged. So here in the front yard at 79 Wistful Vista, we find Fibber McGee and Molly with seeds, trowels, spades, rakes, gardening books, seeds, scissors, seeds, and more seeds.
McGee, you've got enough seeds here to cultivate the Imperial Valley. What's the idea of getting so many?
Well, shucks, who am I to stint nature? You know the old poem, Molly? Spring scatters with a lavish hand
head cold through our lovely land.
Well, that ain't what I had in mind, but...
Hey, get out of there! Shoot! Eat it!
Dad ratted egg poppers sneak up behind me and eat the seeds before they hit the ground.
Well, they have to eat, don't they?
Well, they don't have to eat at my expense. That guy next door don't keep his poultry at home. I'll report him to the Secret Service.
Secret Service?
Well, I got these seeds from our congressman, so it's federal business.
Oh,
hand me that big trowel there, will you, Molly?
This one here?
No, no, no. That big one. That's it.
That isn't a trowel, Eagernut. That's a shovel.
I know, but you can't call a spade on the radio. Where'd I better plant this baby's breath?
Baby's breath. Oh, isn't that a sweet name for a flower?
Never mind the sentiment, Molly. Where'll I put them?
You know, McGee, I think it'd be just darling to plant the baby's breath right between the mums and the poppies.
This is just a small garden, not a nursery. Now, let's see. I think I'll put the calyopsis next to the zinnias and the lady slippers next to the bachelor's button.
What? And start a scandal?
You know, Molly, I'll bet I'll have the prettiest garden in all of the world.
Pat, Pat, get out of here!
By the way, McGee, what's in this envelope? There's no picture or printing on it.
Oh, those seeds? Well, them's daisies.
Well, how do you know?
They won't tell.
Oh. I think you're planting this stuff too early, McGee.
Why, it's almost 5 o'clock.
No, I mean the season, foolish.
Oh, no, I know what I'm doing, Molly. Why, shucks, at one time, I was the champion gardener of Michigan.
Oh, dear.
Calla Lily McGee, I was known as in them days.
Oh, my.
Calla Lily McGee, the colossal cultivator of captivating carnations, clean-cut contriver of colorful calopsis, cute coaxer of chrysanthemums, and King Kong of Kalamazoo cabbage crown. Hand me some more of them seeds, Molly.
What kind of seeds are these?
Shake the package.
Hi-ho, everybody.
I thought so. Rudy's of the Valley. Well, now let's see.
Say, what? Hurry up, McGee. It's real chilly out here. I'll bet your plants freeze tonight.
No, sir. The almanac says warmer and fair.
The almanac in the kitchen?
Yeah.
That's for 1922.
Well, these seeds don't know that. I always thought, but...
Say, aren't you planting these seeds pretty deep?
Oh, I don't know. I gotta give them time to grow because they ain't picked till the 4th of July.
The 4th of July?
Sure.
Well, what are they?
Punks.
Ah, you mean pinks.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it says punk. Oh, well, hand me them seeds there.
Oh, here's the ones I like. Candy stuff.
Oh, hello, folks. Say, what are you doing?
Oh, dear.
What are we doing? What does it look like we're doing?
Feeding your chicken.
Hey, get out of here! Dad, gotta feed it!
We're planting a garden, Mr. Wilcox.
No.
You know, flowers and vegetables and
stuff. Yeah, and listen, Harpo, we're pretty busy. Now, you better run along and work in your own garden.
How did you know I was working in my garden?
You got a kind of a seedy look.
Okay, okay.
You know, Molly, I heard that guy build a shack just to plant his fleur-de-lis again.
Why?
Yeah, somebody told him they were shanty iris.
Say, McGee, how is this garden soil? Have you had it analyzed to see if it's fertile?
I had it tested the other day.
How did it test?
100%.
100% what?
100% dirt.
Oh.
The book here says soil can be improved upon by adding a 2-inch layer of equal parts of sand and peat moss.
Peat moss? Who's he?
Probably the guy that wrote the book.
Hello, folks.
Oh, Ted Wayne. Hi, Ted.
Hello, Ted.
What are you doing?
What are we doing? Well, confidentially, Ted, we're laying the keel for a new submarine for the Navy.
Well, what are all the seeds for?
Naval oranges. Keeps the crew from getting scurvy.
Well, let me take a handful. My first violinist is getting scurvier all the time.
Say, have you got a hobby, Ted?
Sure, I've got a hobby.
What is it?
Not gardening.
Well, what is it? What is your hobby?
That's it. Not gardening. I hate gardening.
What?
I think gardening is the silliest thing there is. Grubbing around the dirt from morning to night. For what? So 3 months later, you can pick a handful of mangy-looking tulips and a few undersized radishes. Gardening. Boy.
Hey.
What?
Weave. When you say that, play.
This program for a special announcement. Commencing next Monday night, April 12th, Fibber McGee and Molly will be heard at 9 o'clock Eastern and 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. This will be 1 hour later than heretofore. Thank you. Vista, where Fibber and Molly are still working in their garden.
Oh, sure.
You know what you're going to have to get for your garden, McGee?
What's that?
A weeder.
A weeder?
Yes, for weeding. Me Uncle Dennis was a great weeder.
What's he been weeding lately?
Oh, he's been weeding a lot of womances, the woe to woe, and wiggle with white and water.
Well, I'll have to come over and weed them while I weed my harvest next fall. Pat, Bennett, get out of here. Yeah,
Say, I know what we ought to have in the garden, McGee.
What?
A bird bath. I think a bird bath is lovely in the garden.
Oh, no, you don't. No bird baths in my garden. No, sir.
Well, heavenly days, why not? I think they're sweet.
No, sir. Not what happened to my brother, Zan. No, sir. Zan had a pretty bitter experience that way.
What happened?
Well, Chuck, Zan had a swell garden, and he thought a bird bath would be nice, just like you.
A bird bath just like me.
No, I mean, he thought just like you that a bird bath would look kind of hotchy-topsy in his garden, so he built one.
Who did?
Zan. That's my brother, Alexander.
Oh.
Well, sir, he built this gorgeous bird bath in a nice spirit of humanity and with the love of wild creatures in his heart. And what do you suppose happened?
What did happen?
Why, sir, he went out one morning and the dad ratted thing had run over and flooded the whole garden. Them fool birds had went off and left the water running.
Oh.
What are these seeds here, Molly?
Well, imagine that, McGee. They're wax beans.
They're harmful. You know, you're beginning to get in my seat. If you butt in again, I'm going to be kind of furious.
Ah, they're a fury at the bottom of our garden.
Well, gee, I didn't mean any harm. Can't I watch you plant something?
Why, certainly. Can't he, McGee?
Well, Harpo, I'll tell you. You watch me plant something, and then I'll watch you plant something. How's that?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, now watch. See, I make a little hole in the ground with the trowel.
Hand trowel or dish trowel?
Trowel. Trowel, Mr. Wilcox. If there was a litter of shovels, this would be the run.
No, I see. All right, go ahead, Pepper.
Then I take this little crooked seed.
And what does the little crooked seed grow into?
Bent grass. I drop the seed in the earth.
lot of iron in this soil.
Then I cover it up, see? Now it's your turn, Harpo.
Oh, gee, that's swell. Now what do I plant?
You plant one foot in front of the other. That way.
Oh, all I wanted to do was watch.
Now then. What was I talking about?
Well, what difference does it make?
You know, Molly, I like to work with old...
Hey, get out of here! Beat it! Ram!
Dead bread of chickens anyway.
McGee, quit chasing those chickens. Come back here. Where are you going, dearie?
I'm going to see this guy next door here. I've had enough of this.
Yes? What was it, please?
You the lady of the house, sis?
Yes.
Are these your chickens?
Yes, they are.
Well, do you mind if I ask you a favor? Your chickens are awful fond of the seeds I'm trying to plant.
Yes?
So I think maybe if I plant them in your yard here, the chickens won't have to walk so far for their lunch. Yes. You see, she hung up on me.
She's probably in a hurry to catch Elmo Tanner whistling April Showers.
But it's 2 weeks later. Fibber has gone over the ground with a fine-tooth rake, but there's nary a sprout in sight. A little worried, he has sent for an agricultural expert, and the expert is expected any minute.
Now, don't know what I done wrong, Molly. They ought to be coming up by this time.
Well, maybe you planted the seeds upside down.
Shucks, I ain't that dumb. Let's see, I put the zinnias over about here and the asters. Where'd I put the asters, Molly?
Well, I don't know, but I hope it was a prominent place. An aster is used to the best, you know.
I hope this expert that's coming can give us the right dope, though. I probably know more about it than he does.
Oh, sure.
Hey there, little girl. Hey there, don't step in the rose.
Hmm?
I says, don't step in the rose.
What rose? I don't see a rose.
Not a rose, the rose. The rose of plants. I've planted flowers here.
I don't see any flowers, Rebecca.
You don't, eh? You don't see any flowers, Molly. Of course you don't, sis. They're just seeds now. They grow up into flowers.
You hope.
You see, sis, the seeds are like little eggs. Mother Nature gets them warm and hatches them out, and they grow up to be nice, strong narcissists and stuff. You see? Get a load of the expression on that sweet little face, Molly. That egg and Mother Nature stuff was a new thought to her. Did you catch on to the idea, sis? I says, did you grasp the idea of Mother Nature hatching out all them tiny little seedlings so they'd grow up into beautiful little flowers and parsnips and stuff?
I bet you I did, I bet.
Ah, that's fine, sis.
But when you get a little older, mister, you'll find out it's just the action of the solar rays combined with the expansion of moisture within the seed that causes them to grow. Anybody kid you with that egg stuff.
Imagine her telling me what makes the flowers grow. Hey, Molly, Who's that coming up the street?
Well, maybe it's that seed expert.
What? In spats and a derby? Why, if he's a farm expert, I'm a ballet dancer.
Well, up on your toes, then. Here he comes.
This is 79, Mr. Vista.
That's right, Bud. Are you the expert on agriculture?
Mr. McGee. Fibber McGee.
Yes. That's us, mister. Mm-hmm.
All right. I am J. Aldington Thomas, the seed expert.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Hi, W. Hey, you don't look much like a farmer.
I'm not a farmer. I'm a Ph.D., M.A., S.T.D., B.S. in geology, botany, physical geography, and plant engineering of the agricultural universities of Cornell, Berlin, and Warsaw.
Heavenly days. All that just to see why our crocuses won't come out.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks, W. What's the matter with this garden?
Well, just a moment now till I adjust this microscope. Please. Will you hand me a small pinch of soil, please?
Oh, take a handful, Bud. We got lots of it.
No. I want to analyze it.
Here, Mr. Thump.
Thank you. Very, very interesting.
If you see any seeds in that dirt, Bud, how do they look? Unhappy?
This soil, Mr. McGee, is intensely interesting. It has a large proportion of volcanic ash, probably a residual basin of the Carboniferous era.
Ooh. No, really?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't the stuff grow?
Yeah, don't rush the professor, Molly. He's on the track of something. How about it, Prof?
Sir, I shall do my very best to explain away any botanical incongruities or geological perplexities which may be troubling you.
Well, that's fine. You can also tell us why this stuff won't come up.
Well, just a moment.
What's the matter?
Who planted these seeds?
Why, me husband. Why?
Excuse me, madam, but I should like to speak to your husband a moment about this. Rather peculiar situation.
Why, certainly. Go right ahead.
What is it, Bud? Excuse us a minute, Molly. What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, for the... Why, I can't... No. Well, gee... Well, Bud, I certainly appreciate it. We'd never have known it if it hadn't been for you. You send me a bill for your services.
Yes, I shall do that, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day.
Good day, Mr. Expert. Now then, McGee, what did he say was the matter?
Oh, nothing.
McGee.
Well, he just says it was... Well, it's kind of a personal matter, Molly. I really wish you wouldn't ask.
McGee, you'll tell me before I stir a foot outside this garden, what did he say?
Oh, shucks, he just said... He just says, well, it seems I forgot to take the seeds out of the envelope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we give you a preview of the typical American family next Monday night, April 12th, at the dinner table.
Mama, may I be excused now?
No, not now. Not till you finish your pudding.
But I can't.
No, darling, you can finish your dessert. Fibber McGee and Molly are on 1 hour later.
On the farm.
Looky here, Belle. Seen this article about hog calling?
Oh, land sakes, I ain't got time to do no reading. I'm just about ready to tune in Fibber McGee and Molly on the radio.
Well, dog, take it, Belle. Ain't you heard? They're on 1 hour later.
In a taxi. Man, hurry. What's holding us off?
I can't do nothing about this traffic. Where's the fire?
Tell you, I've got to hurry. I want to get to my home, to my radio. I want to hear Fibber McGee and Molly.
All that will just keep your seat, mister. It's 1 hour later.
Where is that thing anyway?
Say, McGee, what on earth are you looking for?
Oh, I'm looking for a broom and a dustpan. Let's see. I saw...
What on earth do you want a broom and a dustpan for?
Well, you know, we move out of this time next week and... I want to leave it just as nice and fresh as we found it when we moved in. Good night.
Good night, all.
Heard on the program tonight, this year's kisses from On the Avenue and bubbling over from Wake Up and Live. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly will appear in person at the Plum Theater, Streator, Illinois, Saturday, April 10th. WMAQ, the Chicago Daily News Station.
When what you're listening to gets to be a bit too much, it's good to go back to where it all began, the radio. Tune in to WHFR.FM for relaxing live shows, hosts you can connect with, and alternative variety music that you won't be able to get enough of. That's WHFR.FM at 89.3. WHFR Dearborn. We're making waves, so dial in and catch them.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. For more information on admittance, financial aid, and class schedules, visit www.hfcc.edu today. That's www.hfcc.edu. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford College.
The Jell-O program coming to you from Camp Hahn, California. Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Let's Be Buddies. As Let's Be Buddies, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from Camp Hahn, California, we bring you a man who pedaled here all the way from Hollywood on the rear end of a tandem bicycle, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, you can joke about it if you want to, but believe me, a tandem bicycle is the way to travel nowadays. You pull into a service station, the attendant checks your tires, wipes off your goggles, you stick your tongue out at the gas pump, and away you go. Now, it's really marvelous.
Well, Jack, you'll pardon me for saying so, but, you know, you and Rochester were certainly a funny-looking sight cruising along the highway on that two-seated bike.
Funny-looking?
Yeah, Rochester in his chauffeur's uniform, and you in that, By the way, Jack, what was that weird-looking thing you were wearing on your head? You looked like Buck Rogers.
Oh, that? Well, you see, Don, I've got a girlfriend that's a deep sea diver, and she lent me her helmet to keep the wind out of my eyes. It was really darn nice of her, you know?
Deep sea diver, my goodness, that's a pretty strenuous job for a woman, isn't it?
Oh, she's rugged. In fact, Oh, really, Don? Oh, she is something. In fact, I took Myrtle, that's her name, Myrtle Minkelhopper. Anyway, I took Myrtle to the wrestling matches the other night, and on the way home in the cab, she won 2 falls out of 3. She's got shoulders like Victor Mature. Well, if it isn't the Jell-O oomph girl. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hiya, fellas. Whistle at me like you did outside.
Oh, say, you're really popular here, Mary. You got a nice hand.
That ain't all they're applauding, brother.
Oh, yes. Your figure is more alluring than the average top sergeant. Yes, indeedy.
Well, say, Mary, I tried to reach you on the phone early this morning. I was going to give you a lift here to Camp Hahn.
I wish you had, Don. I drove in with Phil and the orchestra. They chartered a bus.
Oh, the orchestra boys took a bus, eh?
Yeah, 18 wolves on a greyhound.
They are a spirited bunch of fellows, you know. Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm only kidding, Jack. They behave like gentlemen. In fact, they rehearse their band numbers all the way down here.
In the bus?
Uh-huh. Boy, is my neck stiff from ducking a trombone.
Well, you've got my sympathy, Mary. Phil's orchestra blasting away with that corny music. And you and the driver had to sit there and listen.
What driver? He jumped out the window in Pomona.
Oh, he couldn't stand it, eh? Well, who drove the bus, Phil?
No, I did. Phil was up on the roof taking a sunbath.
A sunbath? What a character. Well, here comes the orchestra leader and head waiter of the Biltmore Bowl now. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Well, here I am, fellas. Make off like I'm Gay Pride.
Make.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, and hi, y'all. Hey,
make
that was some
like
reception,
I'm
eh, Jackson?
Kaiser. What?
I said that was a tremendous reception, huh?
Yeah, they sure love Kay Kaiser here, I'll say that. But I'll say one thing, Phil. You look good today. Your face is nice and tan.
You like it? On my way home, I'm going to do my back.
You didn't get cute enough on that gag. Listen. Hey, that reminds me, Maestro, when your boys were inside that bus rehearsing, why weren't you down there with them?
Me?
Yes, you. You're the leader. Don't you want to know what the boys are playing today?
Look, Jackson, I just stand in front of them and shake a stick. When they're through, I stop.
Oh.
Unless I had a bad night.
Well, you're honest, I'll say that. Oh, by the way, Phil, as long as you rented a bus, I think I'll load my bicycle on it and ride back with you and the boys.
A bicycle? You mean you pedaled all the way here on a bike?
Why, sure.
Over them hills?
Of course.
With your legs?
Now, just a minute. What's wrong with my leg?
It looks like they should be sticking out of a malted milk.
Why, what are you talking about? When I played Hamlet in To Be or Not To Be, I wore tights and my legs were gorgeous. Weren't they, Mary?
Yeah, but you wore a lot of padding around them.
Padding?
You could have played Hamlet or football. You were all set.
Oh, you're like all the girls in Hollywood, Mary. You're jealous because I happen to have attractive limbs.
I've seen better-looking limbs on a crabapple tree.
Virgil, listen, you're only the sound man here, so stop butting in.
Oh, are you jealous because I went with Myrtle before you did?
Oh, and any time you want, you can have her back. Anyway, Phil, on the way back to town, I'm loading my bike on your bus.
Say, Mr. Benny, on the way home, can I ride in
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Well.
Say, Mr. Benny, on the way home, can I... Thanks, fellas.
Hmm.
Say, Mr. Benny, on the way home...
How are you feeling, kid?
Oh, fine.
That's good.
I had a little attack of hangnails, but I'm over it now.
Good, good.
Say, Mr. Benny, on the way home, can I ride in the bus with the rest of the gang?
What was that, Dennis?
I say, can I ride in the bus with the rest of the gang?
On the way home? Of course, Dennis, certainly.
Boy, am I glad to hear that. It was so windy coming down here, I could hardly catch my breath.
Oh, it wasn't so windy.
Don't tell me. I was sitting on the handlebars.
What of it? You had a nice soft cushion under you.
Some cushion. Every time Rochester rang the bell, I darn near wiggled off.
Well, all right, Dennis. You can ride home in the bus, so stop complaining and let's have your song. What's it going to be, kid?
I'm going to sing She'll Always Remember.
Well, I'm going to sit right down here and enjoy. Hey, Virgil. Virgil, my back doesn't squeak, so stop with those silly sound effects.
Virgil isn't here. He went out for a smoke.
Oh. Oh, was that me? My goodness, I'll have to have my oil changed.
She'll always remember the night of your first day. Remember who you scolded you because you came home late. When you said you were no baby, she smiled and just said maybe. She'll always remember, for don't you ever
the sea of memory, I'm drifting back to you. Did you ever notice that teardrop in her eye? The first time she discovered there was lipstick on your eye. You've another sweetheart, maybe, but you are still a baby.
She'll Always Remember, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, you're an excellent voice tonight. You know, that bicycle ride down here with the wind blowing in your lungs did you a lot of good.
And I'll last longer, too.
Last longer?
Yeah, I read in the paper where you're supposed to keep plenty of air in you for the duration.
Dennis, that's for tires, not human beings. What a kid. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I announced last week, for our feature attraction this evening...
Here we are at Old Camp Pond in the state of California.
Wait a minute, Mary. Wait a minute. We don't want any of your corny poems tonight.
Well, I wrote one, and I'm going to read it.
Sorry, Mary. Nothing doing.
You let me read my poem, or I'll tell everybody you're hoarding sugar under your toupee.
I just put a couple of lumps under there to give me a wave. That's all. All right, Mary, if it'll make you happy, go ahead. What's the title of your little epic?
I'm Wacky Over Khaki.
Okay, go ahead.
Here we are at Old Camp Hon in the state of California. And the guys here are so handsome, Heidi-ho and Ochicharnia.
So far, nothing. Go ahead, Mary.
I met a boy right after lunch. He got me away from the rest of the bunch. He kissed me, then ran like a deer. If he comes back, I'll buy him a beer.
Still nothing. Go ahead.
When he grabbed me, I near froze, but his aim was bad, and he kissed my nose.
Oh, he kissed your nose, huh?
However, boys, I'm not complaining. He'd only had his basic training.
Well, that explains it, I guess. Proceed.
We're glad to be here, Old Camp Hon. Phil and Dennis, me and Don.
What about me?
And good old Jack, who is our clown man.
And Virgil Reimer, world's best sound man.
Virgil! Virgil, you keep out of this. All right, Mary, let's get this over with. How many more verses?
11, but 10 are no good.
Then read the last one. Let's have it.
You Yankee soldiers can't be beat. You'll run those Japs right off their feet. And when you catch them, don't let go till it says Los Angeles City Limits in Tokyo. The end.
Very good. That was a swell poem, Mary. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I announced last week, our feature attraction this evening will be a new type of quiz show called Try and Get It, in which... See, they know me. In which I, Jack Benny, will personally give away $24 to each of five lucky people. A total of $120.
Jackson, you're drunk.
I am not. In fact, I have right here in my wallet $120 in $1 bills. Here they are.
Well, I'll be darned. They're those old big ones.
They're legal tender. That's all that matters.
Could I see one of those bills, Mr. Benny? They went out before I was born.
They're just the same as the paper money now, Dennis, only bigger. Now, Virgil, I want you to take these bills and put them in the cash register.
Okay. Well, let go of them.
Oh. Oh, pardon me. There. And now, folks, this novel quiz program will go on immediately after. Pardon me, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, hello, Rochester. Where are you?
I went over to that garage in Riverside to put air in the bicycle tires like you told me to.
Uh-huh.
And I ran into a colored boy whom I haven't knelt down to a good crap game with in years.
Uh-huh. Rochester, what are you driving at?
Well, I don't know exactly how to phrase this, boss, but you know that nice shiny bell you had on your bicycle?
Yes.
Well, I just won that back.
What?
The rest of the bike is in escrow.
Wait a minute. Rochester, do you mean to say you lost my bicycle shooting craps?
Well, I was pretty lucky for the first three passes.
Lucky? And then what happened?
My dice went into a minuet and my opponent became suspicious.
Well, I don't care what happened. I want you to go to that garage and tell your friend to give you back my bicycle.
Without paying for it?
Yes, without paying for it. Just grab it.
Now, wait a minute, boss. That boy's got a razor that does everything but run out and get the mail.
Well, Rochester, what are you scared of? You carry a razor yourself.
Yeah, but it's only a Gillette, and I'm out of blades.
I can't help it. Now, you get that bicycle and come over here to Camp Hahn. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What?
If I ain't there in a half hour, send a Jeep with a jug of Newskin.
All right. So long. That Rochester has got to stop gambling. All right, Phil, let's have your band number. Tell you something. I'm going to sit down and think up some questions for this quiz. I'll be right back. Someday, Sweetheart, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. Say, Phil, considering that you didn't rehearse that number with the boys, you conducted it beautifully. But how did you know when to stop?
I saw my piano player taking the cotton out of his ears.
Oh, I see. However, Phil, if you, come in. Yes?
Got a telegram here for Mr. Jack Benny.
Right here, buddy.
Got a sign for it, you know. Got a sign for it.
All right, I'll sign. Take the telegram, Mary.
Company regulations. Got the rules right here in my hand if you want to see them.
Never mind, I believe you. Here, it's signed. Now scram.
You forgot to give him a tip, Mr. Benny.
A tip?
Ain't no regulations against that.
I'll tell you what, mister. Instead of a tip, I'm going to give you a chance to make $24 by answering a few simple questions in my quiz contest. What do you say?
Ain't no catch to this, is there?
No. No, have a seat and I'll call you. Who's the telegram from, Mary?
It's from Fred Allen.
From Alan.
Yeah, get this. Understand you're giving away money tonight. Are you going to take ether or use a local anesthetic?
Oh, that guy is so funny. Well, let's forget arsenic and old face and get on with our quiz show. Let's get on with the quiz show. I can hardly wait to give away all that money.
Yikes!
What's that? What's that?
Don't get excited, Diamond Jim. I just leaned on the no-sale button.
Well, watch it and close that drawer. All right, Don, announce me.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present for your entertainment and education a brand-new quiz program, Try and Get It, featuring Professor Jack Benny, that eminent authority on...
Good evening, you lucky people. Now, before we start, folks, I'd like to explain the rules of the simple yet tantalizing contest. Now, each of you participants will be asked three questions and will receive $24 if you answer them correctly.
If, meaning you ain't got a chance.
Mary, well, shall we get on with our mental taffy pull?
Let's.
Now, our first contestant this evening is a lovely young lady. What is your name, miss?
Myrtle Minkelhofer, and I'm a deep sea diver.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Quiet. Now, Miss Minkelhofer.
Yes, Stinky. I mean, Professor.
Now, here's your first question for $6. What tribe of Indians is liable to sue you?
I didn't get you.
Concentrate, Myrtle. What tribe of Indians is liable to sue you?
But Stinky, I don't know no Indians.
You don't have to sue.
Oh, the Sioux Indians. Boy, am I stupid. I guess I'm underwater too much.
No, you're just a little nervous. Now, would you like to try for the $12 question?
Nah. I'm lucky to get the six. Hand it over.
But Myrtle.
Give me that $6 around.
All right. Put your fist down. Please. Well, there goes $6. Next time she takes a dive, I'm going to cut her airline. Now, our next contestant, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Phil Harris. Tell me, Mr. Harris. What is your occupation?
I'm a sunbather.
Well, you ought to try water sometime. Now, Mr. Harris... Mr. Harris, here is your first question. What great explorer was Columbus, Ohio named after?
Christopher J. Columbus.
The J, I'm not sure of. But you've won $6.
Okay, I'll take a shot at the 12.
Good. Then tell us, Mr. Harris, what great president was Lincoln, Nebraska named after?
Abraham, Nebraska.
That's Lincoln, but you're close enough.
Okay, come on now. Give me that $24 question while I'm hot.
Very good. Are you ready?
Yeah, shoot.
This question deals with ancient history. At the Battle of Chaeronea in the year 338 B.C.
Holy smoke!
Now concentrate. At the Battle of Chaeronea in the year 338 B.C., Philip, king of Macedon, succeeded in forcing himself into the Amphictyonic Council, although opposed by what noted orator?
I'd have punched you right in the nose.
Temper. Sit down, Mr. Harris, or I'll have Myrtle knock you down. Now, our next aspirant is Mr. Don Wilson. Are you ready, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, Professor.
And here is your first question. Jell-O has that new locked-in what?
Flavor.
Correct. For $6. Now, the 12. Now, for the... I mustn't let him win. Now for the $24 question. How do you spell Jell-O?
Capital J-E-L-L-O.
Wrong, you left out the hyphen.
What?
I'm sorry, sit down. I'm sorry, sit down. Our next contestant is Mr. What's your name, buddy?
Percy Kilbride, and I'm a messenger boy also.
I see. Now, Mr. Kilbride, here's your first question for $6. Who invented the steam engine?
Well, I see. Gotta think it out, you know. Gotta think it out.
Take your time. Now tell us, who invented the... Sorry, time's up. Now for our final victim, or contestant this evening, we have Mr. Dennis Day. Are you sharp tonight, Dennis?
What camp are we at?
Good. Now listen carefully. Here's your first question for $6. How many men are George Bernard Shaw?
Boy, that's a tough one.
One is correct. Now, would you like to...
If I say the first thing that comes in my head, I'm liable to get it wrong.
Sit down, Mr. Kilbride. You were late. Sit down. Now, tell us, Mr. Day, how many men are Fred Mac Murray?
How much have I won so far?
One is correct. Very, very good. Now, would you like to try...
I got the answer. I know who invented the steam engine.
I told you your time is up, Mr. Kilbride. Now, Mr. Day, how would you like to try for the $24 question?
No, I'll take the 12 and quit.
You will not. Virgil, don't you give him a penny. Now, concentrate, Mr. Day. This is for $24 or nothing. How many men are John Charles Thomas?
Oh, I get it. One man.
Wrong. John Charles Thomas are three men.
Three men?
Yes. John Barrymore, Charles Lawton, and Thomas Jefferson. And so, folks, try and get it. Wind up the first contest by paying out a total of $6 to Miss Myrtle Minkelhopper. Congratulations, Miss Minkelhopper.
Got the answer, Professor.
Too late. Play, Phil. This is the last number of the 28th program in the current Yellow Series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Meanwhile, I'd like to thank Colonel Cowley, Major Vickery, and Captain Stalkup for a swell time here at Camp Hahn.
Say, Jack.
What?
That quiz contest of yours was the biggest phony I ever heard of.
What do you mean, phony? I paid Myrtle $6, didn't I?
Why don't you give her four more so she can have her face lifted?
Oh, don't be so catty. Good night, folks.
The Jell-O program is written by Bill Maher and Ed Beloit, and the broadcast from Camp Hahn, Riverside, California, is for the entertainment of the Army personnel and does not constitute an endorsement of the product by the War Department.
Listening to WHFR Dearborn. It's 11 o'clock.
That was The Fleet's In, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn back the clock and take you to the drugstore across the street from the NBC building here in Hollywood. The time is exactly 15 minutes before this broadcast. Take it away, drugstore.
Hurry up and order your sandwich, will you, Mary? We'll be on the air in a few minutes.
A sandwich?
Yes.
I'm a growing girl. I want meat and potatoes.
Well, all right, order a meat sandwich. And the potato chips here are very crispy.
every Sunday we have to eat in the drugstore. Why don't you take me to the Brown Derby once in a while?
Mary, I'm not going into the Brown Derby until they hang my picture in the main dining room with the rest of the big movie stars. They can't treat me that way.
What do you mean?
Every time I want to see that drawing of myself, I've got to go in and wash my hands. Well, it's not right.
Oh, stop complaining. Say, Jack, look at this item on the menu. Jack Benny Special, 35 cents.
A Jack Benny Special? What is it?
A minute steak with a transfusion.
Oh, these soda jerks think they're so smart. Hey, Gilroy, what do I have to do to get a little service around here?
Take it easy, Blue Eyes. Hello, Mary. What'll it be?
I'll have a hot roast beef sandwich, mashed potatoes, lettuce and tomato salad, and apple pie with tutti frutti ice cream.
Mary, you haven't got time to eat all that.
Okay, don't toot the fruity.
Oh, save that stuff for the program. Say, Gilroy, I think I'll just have a cup of coffee and a donut.
A what?
A donut. One of those over there with the powdered sugar on it.
That's a plain donut. I forgot to dust them off this morning.
Oh, well, then never mind. Maybe I'll just have a cup of... Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Mary.
Hello. Hey, Jack, get a load of Phil's slacks. They button on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. I put on a pair of Alice's.
Oh, my goodness. Why don't you open your eyes when you get up in the morning?
They're open, Jackson, but they don't work till noon.
No.
What a bee, Twitch. Well,
smart guy. Give me a Phil Harris special.
Okay. One ham omelet. Put a wave in it.
Put a wave in it. The most egotistical thing I ever heard.
Here's your order, Mary.
Thanks. Oh, Jack, look who's down the other end of the counter. It's Virgil Reimer, our funny sound man.
That's what he thinks. Nobody speak to him. He's getting too fresh.
Hello, Virgil. What do you have?
Get long distance on the phone. I want a Denver sandwich.
Oh, he's so clever.
Say, Virgil, you sure got a lot of laughs at Camp Hahn last Sunday. You were the funniest thing on the Benny program.
Yeah, and imagine what I could do if old Poison Puss didn't hold me down.
Poison Puss, that's a fine way to talk about our sponsor.
He means you.
I know who he means. Wise guy.
No kidding, Virg. You're terrific. Do you get many fan letters?
I'll say. Remember that little poodle that used to run out and bring in my mail?
Yeah?
Well, I got a St. Bernard now.
That's positively the worst joke I ever heard.
I thought it was kind of cute.
Me too.
Yeah?
You know, Virgil, I thought you had a lot of fun working for Benny.
Fun? That old slave driver does everything but chase us across the ice.
Well, that's the last straw. Now, listen here, Virgil.
Oh, hello, Mr. Legree. Where's your whip?
Never mind the wisecracks. You get over to NBC and set up our props for the program. Now, scram.
See what I told you, Gil?
All right, get going, get going.
Hey, Virg, should I slip my malted Mickey?
You stay out of this.
Hey, where's my omelet?
Here you are, Twitch. You want something to drink with it?
No, thanks. I'm on the wagon.
He never heard of coffee in the morning. Hurry up with mine, will you?
Say, Mr. Benny, I just got on the weighing machine, and how much do you think...
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello. Say, Mr. Benny, I just got on the weighing machine, and how much do you think...
How you feeling, kid?
All right, I guess.
Good, good.
I thought I had fallen arches for a while, but I wasn't pulling my socks up.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Thank heaven my girl can use those arch supporters I bought.
Why don't you buy them, Jack?
Because I don't need them. What makes you think I got flat feet?
Plop, plop, plop.
All right, young lady. Just for that, I'm not going to pick up your check today.
I can carry it over to the cashier myself.
I was going to pay it, too.
Say, Mr. Benny, I just got on the weighing machine and...
Yes?
How much do you think I weigh?
How much, Dennis?
141 pounds, stripped.
Trip.
I took the scale in the phone booth.
Oh. Well, you better watch yourself, young man. Huh?
And you know what else, Mr. Benny? When I put a penny in the machine, I got one of those little cards with my fortune on it.
Oh, your fortune, eh? What did it say, kid?
You're lucky you can sing.
Now, there's a machine that knows its business. Hey, Gilroy, where's my coffee? Did you send to Brazil for it?
Si, si, senora.
Smart, Alec. I wouldn't even eat here if the Brown Derby wasn't so careless about where they hung my picture.
You ought to wash your hands here sometime.
Well, I'll be darned.
Hey, kids, you better snap into it. We're on the air in a few minutes.
Okay, Don. See you later, Jackson. I'm going to run ahead and find out what my boys are going to play today.
What?
You mean you don't know what numbers you're doing? Weren't you at rehearsal?
We didn't have a rehearsal. Frankie left the cards and chips home.
Oh.
See you in the joint, fellas.
Be right up. Oh, say, Don. Don, come here a minute, will you?
Yeah?
When you introduce me today, I wish you'd do me a favor and say I just started my new picture at Warner Brothers with Ann Sheridan.
Well, are you making a picture with Ann Sheridan?
Yes, and it might be on the program today. You know, it might be a nice subject to talk about. You know, inject a little romance.
What do you mean, romance? You're playing the part of her father, aren't you?
I had that out with the director, and I'm now her husband. My new role will be great for the picture.
It won't hurt the makeup business either.
All right. Now, don't forget, Don.
Warner Brothers, huh?
Yeah. Be with you in a second, Mary. I want to get a tube of shaving cream. Hey, mister, give me a tube of shaving cream, will you?
Got to turn in an old tube, you know. Got to turn in an old one.
Look, I haven't got an old tube. Now, hurry, will you?
Government regulations.
But look.
I don't make the laws, you know.
Now, look.
Come on, Jack. We'll be late for the program.
I'm coming. Now, look, mister, forget the shaving cream. Just give me a cigar.
Gotta have an old one, you know.
Never mind. Forget the whole thing. Come on, Mary, let's go.
Bounce, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a man who has just started his new picture for Warner Brothers with lovely Ann Sheridan, Jack Glamour Boy Benny.
Thank you, Jello. Again, this is Jack Benny, your glamour boy, like Don said. Heaven knows, I'd never go that far. Don, how in the world did you ever find out about my new picture with Ann Sheridan? Did you read about it in some column? Did you?
No, Jack. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen anything about it in the papers.
Well, then, how did you ever hear about it? I was trying to keep it a secret. How'd you find out, Don? Did a little bird tell you?
Yeah, an old gray canary.
Canary. But it's the truth, Don. Ann Sheridan is my new leading lady, and she sure is a peach to work with.
Oh, I can imagine.
I mean, her enunciation is so clear and bell-like, and her diction is simply marvelous, you know? And her...
That's Benny for you. With him, it's her diction.
Well, she is beautiful, I'll admit that. And confidentially, Don, I think her husband, George Brent, is a little jealous of me.
What do you mean?
Well, he happened to visit the set the other day just as Ann and I were doing a love scene. And right in the middle of a kiss, he got mad and walked out.
Well, naturally, why did you kiss him?
I didn't kiss him, I kissed Miss Sheridan. Pay attention, will you? Anyway, Don, I think that this picture will be one of my best screen efforts to date. In fact, I'm already getting fan letters on it.
Really?
Yep.
He gets a bill from Bullocks and he calls it a fan letter.
I'm talking about real movie fans that write in. Don, you know that little poodle that used to run out and bring in my mail?
What poodle?
Well, I got a Great Dane now. pretty clever, eh, Dossie? Some ad lib.
Now, wait a minute, you. That's my gag.
You said St. Bernard. I said Great Dane. It's a different gag altogether.
You steal any more of my stuff, and I'll play ring around your nosy.
Oh, go sit down.
Say, Jackson, do you think there's a chance of getting me in that new picture you're making?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm Ann Sheridan's husband. And what part could you play?
Well, if you're her husband, she's got to have a sweetheart.
Listen, Maestro, I wouldn't make any more cracks like that if I were you. Lest next season, when I say play, Phil, I'll be addressing Phil Spitalny. So watch it.
You couldn't fire me, Jackson. I got too much on you.
Oh, yeah? Well, listen, Phil, if you're referring to that night in Phoenix, that young lady was my aunt...
I've never been to Phoenix.
Why don't I keep my big mouth shut? Anyway, Phil, don't think I can't get along without you.
Say, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
You met me in the drugstore, remember?
Oh, yes.
Say, Mr. Benny, can I come out to the studio and watch you work on your picture someday?
Why, certainly, Dennis. Anytime you feel like it.
That's swell. And say, while I'm out there, would you mind introducing me to a certain somebody?
As if I didn't know, huh? Who do you mean, Dennis?
Oh, you'll tease me about it.
No. Who do you want to meet?
Edward G. Robinson.
Well, that I never figured. Well, it's about time for your song, kid, so let's have it.
Okay.
Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Would you be interested in a toupee with no cuffs on it?
Get out of here! You ought to see his head, folks. The only thing he can part on it is his eyebrows. Sing, Dennis.
Was it in Tahiti? Were we on the Nile? Long, long ago, dreams come true a few kisses ago. I remember you. You're the one who said I love you too. I do, didn't you know? I remember too a distant bell. Life is through, and the angels ask me to recall the thrill of them all. Then I shall tell.
Hi.
that was I Remember You, sung by Dennis Day, who would rather meet Edward G. Robinson than Ann Sheridan. And now, folks...
I only wanted to meet Robinson so he would introduce me to Miss Sheridan.
Well, why go to all that trouble? I could introduce you to Ann.
Well, I wanted to meet her for nothing.
It wouldn't cost you anything. And now, folks...
You charged me 25 cents to meet Barbara Stanwyck.
You met Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor. And now, folks, if that isn't worth a quarter, then I don't know what. And now, folks, Mr. Don Wilson, that eminent American author, has written another of his famous one-act plays. Take it, Mr. Wilson.
The scene, ladies and gentlemen. Don't run off, Dennis. You're in this. You're going to be an old prospector.
Okay. Here, Phil, hold my yo-yo.
Dennis, put that away. Go ahead, Don.
The scene, ladies and gentlemen, is the home of Mr. and Mrs. Rufus LeMaire, who live in a cabin on the edge of the Mojave Desert in a desolate part of the West. They're just finishing their evening meal. Music, please.
Well, Sari, I thought our supper tonight was fine. There's nothing like barbecued coyote.
Not only that, I got a fur coat out of it.
Yep, and that jello we had for dessert was mighty tempting. Where did you get it?
I walked 85 miles to our neighborhood grocer.
Well, it sure was worth it.
Say, Ruth, I seen a newspaper in town, and guess what?
What?
It says that men ain't going to wear cuffs on their pants anymore.
They ain't, eh? Say, I wonder if I got cuffs on my pants.
Why don't you take off your boots sometime and find out?
One of these days, I'm a-going to. I wonder who that is. Come in. Hello, stranger. Who are you?
I'm a prospector. And for 3 weeks now, I've been lost in the desert without food or drink. I'm starving, I tell you, starving.
Be calm, old-timer. Sit down.
Okay, hold my yo-yo.
A fine prospector.
I'm starving, I tell you. Starving.
Don't worry. We'll take care of you.
Yes, I'll fix you a nice hot dish of beef stew.
Beef stew?
Yep.
No, thank you. I'm a vegetarian.
I'm
starving, I tell you. Starving.
Be patient. We'll think of something, stranger.
Say, would you like a nice lettuce and tomato salad?
What kind of dressing? French or Thousand Island? No, thank you. I'm starving, I tell you, starving.
Well, you gotta eat something. Isn't there anything you'd like?
Yes. Have you got some tempting and delicious jello?
Jello? I'm sorry, partner. We had some, but we ate every bit of it.
I'm going to make it again tomorrow, though.
Okay, I'll be back. So long.
So long, stranger.
I'm starving, I tell you, starving, starving.
That little drama, ladies and gentlemen, was written by our own Don Wilson. And Don, that's the best one yet.
Oh, I don't deserve too much credit for it, Jack. You see, that was a true story.
I believe you. Now go over to your chairs and sit down. And now, folks, I would like to announce that our program next Sunday will originate from San Francisco, where we are going to dedicate the brand new NBC studios. In fact, we're going to do their very first broadcast.
Well, I guess a new building can take it.
Don't worry. If I can just get my writers out of Hurley's bar and into a Turkish bath, we'll be okay. Now, kids, I gave all of you your railroad tickets, so I better check them over to see if everything's all right. Phil, what's your Pullman reservation?
I'm sleeping in car 19, lower 5.
Check. What's yours, Dennis?
Car 19, lower 5.
Check.
Now, wait a minute.
Never mind. What's yours, Don?
Car 19, lower 5.
check. What's yours, Mary?
Upper 5. Thanks, Jack.
Don't mention it. Well, everything's okay, so remember, fellas, be at the station 1/2 hour before train time.
Now, take it easy, Jackson. Three of us can't sleep in one berth.
Of course not. We won't be comfortable.
Listen, Don, in the days of vaudeville, the four Marx brothers slept in one berth, and they had a harp besides. So stop beefing.
Well, Jack, if I was as thin as the four Marx brothers, I wouldn't complain.
Don, the tickets are bought, and that's the way it's going to be.
That's a lot of hooey about the Marx brothers. How do you know they all slept in one berth?
Jack was in the baggage car with Fink's mule.
You said it. In those days, when I said I was going to hit the hay, I meant it. Anyway, fellas, it's a short trip, so don't worry about it.
Say, Mr. Benny, where are you going to sleep?
Well, Dennis, on account of my insomnia, I think I'll just sit up in the chair car and read. I'll get a magazine.
Well, buy a Popular Mechanics and find out how three guys can lay down in one berth.
Who said lay down? Lay down or lie down? Which is correct?
A lot of good that'll do us.
Listen, kid, will you please stop being so fussy?
Say, how am I going to get up to San Francisco? By carrier pigeon?
Virgil, you're not going to be with us next week. You can tune in and listen.
I wouldn't listen to this program if it was the pot of gold and I had the only telephone in the country.
Oh, you wouldn't, eh?
That's topping him, Jack.
I wasn't trying to top him. I don't want to hear any more about our trip. We're going there, we're going to open up the new studios, and immediately, as soon as... Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, hello, Rochester, what do you want?
Well, boss, he did it before, and he did it again.
What? What are you talking about?
Carmichael just came out of hibernation, and I can't find the gas man.
You mean my polar bear woke up already? Why, he's not supposed to come out of hibernation till May 1st. He's early.
So was the gas man.
Stop dreaming things up. Tell me, Rochester, was Carmichael in a good mood?
Well, yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
When he first got up, he came over and hugged me and squeezed me and he even tried to kiss me.
Well.
And then he put salt and pepper on me.
Oh, that cute little rascal. I bet he's as thin as a rail.
Uh-huh.
You better give him something to eat, Rochester. A lot of nourishing food.
Uh-huh.
What that bear needs is something fattening.
I know one hunk of fudge you ain't gonna get.
Oh, Rochester, stop. You know he loves you. Now, here's what you do. Give Carmichael a nice cold shower and then comb his hair out. Might be all matted, you know.
He don't like it when I comb his hair.
Well, then give him a slap on his nose and make him behave. Let him know who's boss.
I let him know once, then he let me know, and now there's no question about it.
Well, all right, Rochester, just leave him alone. When I come home, I'll take care of everything. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
I'm going up to San Francisco with you, ain't I?
Yes, of course.
Well, on this trip, am I going to be under 12 or a Pullman Porter again?
You're getting a ticket. Now, goodbye. Darn that Carmichael. Every year, the gas company wants to take my meter out. Oh, well, play, Phil. The last number of the 29th program in the current Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time, broadcasting from the new NBC studios in San Francisco.
So long, Jack. See you at the train.
Wait a minute, Mary. We've all got to stick around today and put on a little entertainment for men in uniform. They'll all be coming in here in a few minutes.
Oh, well, I'll just have time to write a poem. Oh, soldiers, sailors, and Marines, you're the nicest guys I've ever seen.
Save it, save it. Good night, folks.
There we go. Jack Benny Show there. From April 19, 1942, this is Radio Vault. Until 1 o'clock, at which time we will be taking a listen to Mountain Stage, followed by This Just In right here on 89.3 WHFR. Before we get to that, we will be listening to The Big Show. And it's a very big show, too. Literally a big show. That'll be in just scant moments here on 89.3 WHFR.
Hey, Mama. You seen him, you duck. And now here he is with the beat that's sweet and the jive that's alive. Your very own Muchacho.
Remember, a pretty girl is like a melody, but get three or four tunes playing at once, you can go crazy there.
Come join the White Rabbit on the Hot Wax Radio every Sunday from 7 to 9 in the p.m. here at the station that's making waves, WHFI Gibbon. Woohoo! Yay!
Hello, I'm Dennis Brown II of Plymouth, Michigan. April is Autism Awareness Month. A reliable diagnosis can come as early as 2 years old, while the average age of a diagnosis is at 5 years old. The average age of an intervention is at 4.7 years old. Depending on the household, the average age of any diagnosis ranges from 4.7 to 5.2 years old. To find out where your state ranks, go to autismspeaks.org.
You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Ethel Barrymore. Joan Davis.
Bob Hope.
Ben Johnson.
Roger Mark. Ezio Pinza.
Jimmy Wallington.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
Swell is in America, the curtains of America. We're going to fill your parlor full of stars.
The Big Show. 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world. Brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at the same time as the Sunday feature of NBC's All-Star Festival. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, the big show's in Hollywood this week. And it's amazing the difference in the people on the two coasts. Now, here, everybody looks so healthy and invigorated. Back east, everybody looks so pallid and investigated. Well, the first thing you notice out here is how suntanned everybody is. They all look as if they'd just come back from Florida. Laugh, kids. Back in New York, everybody looks so pale as if he'd just come back from Mexico.
Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Just Plain Bill O'Dwyer.
No. Here's that pushy Bob Hope.
That's all? Well, thanks. Thanks, anyway. Thanks. That's all.
Down, down, down.
Thank you. How about that?
Well, Bob.
Well, just a minute. There's still a ripple of applause over in that corner. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They really want me, don't they?
They certainly do, baby. Look, Bob, darling, could I borrow that sweater you're wearing that lights up and says applause?
If you do, you'll get twice as much as I do. Now, tell me, Tallulah. Tell me, Tallulah, what are you doing here in Hollywood? You're a little off your beat, aren't you?
Oh, darling, my beat is pretty near everywhere.
Yeah, that's what they say everywhere. Tallulah's pretty beat.
Please remember, you're only on this show because we couldn't get Maury Amsterdam.
Now, what is that? Oh, a plug. Oh, what do you get for that, a case of Maury Amsterdam? I only asked why you were in Hollywood because I thought you were out here to make a picture.
Well, don't think I haven't been asked.
I know you've been asked, but I'm talking about pictures.
Now, what's so special about making pictures? I'll give it to you again, Bob. Now, what's so special about making pictures? You're just like all the other stars out here. You're so stuffy about the picture business.
Oh, well, you're just jealous that I'm a leading man in pictures, and you're not. Say, did you see my last picture?
I hope so.
Cad. Say... But if you haven't seen my latest opus, The Lemon Drop Kid, why don't you come over to the house tonight? We'll have dinner, and then I'll show you the picture.
I'd rather die.
In that case, come after dinner. You sound so bitter about the motion picture business. You should make a movie, Tallulah. They're talkies now, you know.
Is that an offer, darling?
You mean they're talkies now, you know. You mean you and me?
Well, why not? You made a picture called My Favorite Blonde, and you made another, My Favorite Brunette. How about making a picture with me?
My favorite plaid.
Isn't he sweet? Robert Hope.
Or my favorite baritone.
Bob, you're making this program a mess.
Oh, I changed your formula after all these weeks. But look, Tallulah, if you're really serious about doing a picture out here, the thing for you to do is to get a good manager.
I have a manager.
Well, tell him to get you a job in pictures.
I have a woman manager.
Well, tell her. And then get a good publicity man to get you into the columns.
I have a publicity woman.
Okay, and you should get yourself a good lawyer to draw up your contract.
I have a lawyer. She's very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you send them all over to see the Warner sisters?
Darling Bob, I don't have to go knocking on any door to get into pictures. I'm very well known on every lot in Hollywood.
And some of the homes, too.
I'm talking about the movie lots. The last time I worked on a lot, everybody was amazed at my drive. I was hitting on all six. I had plenty of get up and go. I didn't put on the brakes for 1 minute while I was on that lot.
Sounds like a used car lot.
I didn't go around knocking on doors in those days. Doors meant nothing to me. I didn't care if they said president, vice president, treasurer, ladies, gentlemen. I walked right through them.
I'm leaving before the place is pinched out.
Come back here, Bob. How about your song?
Song I can't sing. Where's Gary's old man? We were supposed to sing a song together this week. He needs me now, you know. I boost him over the high notes.
Well, Mr. Crosby begged off this week's show. He's indisposed. He hasn't been well for a couple of weeks. It's something internal, I believe.
Yeah, internal revenue. I understand last March 15th, he coughed up a lot of money.
Oh, so that's where he hides it.
He's the only man who wears his money belt on the inside.
Well, he has a lot of business projects, hasn't he?
Has he? He just happens to be the exclusive West Coast distributor for money. Well,
not only does he work all the time, but he has a son working for him, too.
Between him and that boy Gary, they got more money than the government. You've heard their record, Uncle Sam's song.
Well, now, how about the song you're going to do, Bob?
Well, it's a song I did once with Crosby. If he's not here, I can't do it.
Why not?
You mean...
Who else?
You sing?
And how?
Well, okay.
Let's go.
Get a load of this dialogue. No wonder this show takes an hour and a half, but... But, Tallulah, I don't know. That's the funnier mic. Look, Tallulah. I don't know if you can do this song. It was written for Crosby and me. You won't fit the lyric.
Well, let's try it, maybe. I will fit some of the lyrics.
Okay, here we go.
I don't care where I'm going, just as long as I'm with you.
Put it there, pal. Put it there. I'll be just like your old toupee. I'll stick to you like glue.
That doesn't fit me.
Put it there, pal.
I'm glad you're fooling Chesterfield and stealing all that loot.
I hear your show on radio and some are kind of cute. Until they sign up Gary, you'll just have to substitute.
That doesn't fit me.
You're faithful and you're fair. Put it there. You've got that something in your voice like sawing logs in half.
That does not fit me.
Put it there.
Well, pal,
put it there.
I think your jokes are great. It's just that folks would rather laugh.
Put it there.
Your face should make a fortune. Just your nose should make a lot.
I like the way you wear those gaudy colored shirts you got. The only time a rainbow ever covered up a pot. That fits you.
We make a perfect pair.
Put it there. Say, you're doing okay, Tallulah. How about the two of us teaming up? We'd make a great trio.
You mean me and you?
Huh? That's the idea, but the filling is wrong. You mean you and me.
I'll accept that.
The two of us together would be great for radio.
Put it there, pal. Put it there. It's time that you got rid of Bing. He holds you back, you know.
Put it there, pal.
We do a married couple show and call it Storm and Strife.
With funny jokes
and tendencies about domestic life.
But you'd sound like the husband.
Well, you'd make a darling wife.
You'd wear the slacks in the family.
You'd wear the girdle and that fist.
We'd make the perfect pair. Put it there.
My colleague.
My crony.
My cohort.
My friend.
Companion.
Confederates.
That fist, Buster.
We'll be chums to the end, just like meat and potatoes.
Our sauce and tomatoes.
Boy, what a blend.
Don't put it in the paper. Don't put it on the air. Don't put it in your pipe. Put it there.
And now, darlings, it is time to bid welcome to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's handsome young star, Mr. Van Johnson. Van Johnson appears now on the big show in the scene from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's fine new picture, Go for Broke, which again combines the talents of the team that made Battleground, Doris Sherry, Robert Parrish, and Van Johnson. Go for Broke is the story of a valiant and much decorated unit of the United States Army, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, made up exclusively of volunteer American citizens of Japanese ancestry, known as Nisi. Go for Broke, titled after the motto of the 442nd, a crap-shooting phrase meaning shoot the works, is the story of an heroic infantry outfit and the story of a young platoon leader in the outfit from Texas, Lieutenant Mike Grayson, who found out the hard way that he was privileged to be one of the fightingest, most elite in the entire American Army. Here is Van Johnson in the role of Lieutenant Mike Grayson in the forthcoming Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Go for Broke.
Over hill, over dale, as we hit the dusty trail for the caissons go rolling along.
The 442nd United States Infantry Regiment was born at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, by order of President Roosevelt. The order read, the proposal of the War Department to organize a combat team consisting of loyal American citizens of Japanese descent has my full approval. The principle on which this country was founded and by which it has always been governed is that Americanism is a matter of the mind and heart. Americanism is not, and never was, a matter of race or ancestry.
Sir, Lieutenant Grayson reports for duty.
At ease, Lieutenant. Welcome to Camp Shelby.
Thank you, Colonel.
This your first assignment since receiving your commission?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, it's a rough one. We're short of officers, short of equipment, short of everything but trainees. They're coming in by the carload. This is a brand new outfit, a new kind of outfit, Lieutenant. No precedent for it except one battalion that was activated in Hawaii, the 100th. They haven't been put to the test yet. What do you think of this idea, Lieutenant?
Sir, I'd like to make a request.
Yes, what's that?
I'd like your permission, sir, to put in for a transfer to the 36th Division. You see, sir, I'm from Texas.
What's that got to do with it?
The 36th is an old Texas National Guard unit. I've been in it ever since I got in the Army, until they sent me to OCS. I took it for granted I'd go back to the 36th.
Any objection to working with the kind of troops we have here?
Because they're Japs? Oh, no, sir, it isn't that at all.
Let's get a couple of things straight, Lieutenant. You're staying here, you got that?
Yes, sir.
Second, they're not Japs. They're Japanese-Americans, Nisei. Or as they call themselves, Buddha heads. All kinds of Buddha heads, Lieutenant. From Hawaii, Alaska, California, New York, Colorado. Yeah, some from Texas. They're all American citizens and they're all volunteers. Any questions?
No, sir.
That will be all.
Wait a minute, you. How long have you been in the Army, soldier?
Oh, let me see now. Maybe I've been staying inside about 2-3 months. How long you been staying inside, Lieutenant?
Don't you know you're supposed to hold your salute till the officer returns it?
Oh, sure. Sometimes forget.
Sometimes forget to say sir, too, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Is that your own uniform?
Sir, that's the smallest size he got, the supply sergeant. Sir?
Well, roll those sleeves down. Straighten out your leggings.
Bombay, sir. I see the supply sergeant again, sir. He gonna get me smaller size. Maybe, I hope, sir.
You better see somebody before I see you again. Get back in the barracks.
Hey, break him up. New officer, he come. Must be the one for us. Oh, boy, 8 feet tall and mean like anything.
Well, the honeymoon's over.
Psst, here he comes.
Bagatare.
What was that man just said?
Excuse me, sir. I don't know.
You don't know?
Sorry, sir. I don't speak Japanese.
Bakatari. I didn't know what that meant in those days, and I guess it's just as well. I gave those guys a pretty bad time, taking it out on them because I was stuck in what I figured to be a third-rate outfit. All I prayed for was to get back to the Texas 36th. But we gradually got ourselves whipped into shape, and by the time we hit Italy and began to see action, I began to change my mind about those Buddha heads. They were real tough boys, almost as good a GIs as you'd expect a soldier with out of Texas. We got our baptism of fire in Italy, and after a couple of months, I thought we had as much fighting as any outfit could take. Then we were shipped to France for more of the same. But I wasn't kicking, because in France, we met up with my old Texas outfit. And then something happened that seemed almost too good to be true. I finally got my transfer. But a funny thing happened. I started missing those Buddha heads. It was weeks before I ran into them again, in a little French cafe.
Tommy! Say, you're looking great.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Sam, where'd you get those stripes?
They don't care who they make platoon sergeant anymore.
Oh, it's sure good to see you. I'll buy you a round of drinks.
Sorry, sir. We won't have time.
Okay. See you around.
They still didn't care for me too much. Well, I couldn't blame them. I was still a Bakatari to the Buddha heads. That night, my outfit went back on the line, up on a hill in the woods. We were making for the top, but the Krauts were there, and pretty soon we were pinned down, but good. We were surrounded, cut off. The artillery observer got hit, and I took over. Wildcat 6, this is Wildcat 2. Fire mission, over. Fire mission, point. Fox, Abel, Easy, Baker, Mike, Charlie, and point. King, Sugar, Charlie, Love, Abel, Howe. What's that? The 442? Oh, now you're talking. Hey, Collie, how do you like that? They're sending us the 442 to get us out of this.
442? You mean Japs?
They're a great outfit, Collie.
Yeah, yeah. Practically winning a war single-handed. Look, if we got to depend on Japs...
They're not Japs. They're Nisei. Buddha heads.
To me, they're Japs.
I'm warning you, Collie. One more crack out of you.
Hit it!
sweated it out for hours, but no putter hits. I went out with Cully to see if we could make contact. We couldn't see a thing in that pine forest, but we made contact with something.
Krause, come on, let's get out of here.
We haven't got a chance. Let them have it.
Pour it on. I'll take a look. The Japs! They knock it off! Stop firing!
What's the password?
Come on, what is it? Wait, I remember. Dipsy Doodle.
That was it last week.
Let's have that password over fire. One, two...
Fuck it, Tony!
Come on out.
Make him give you the right password.
Ever hear that Jerry try to pronounce a Japanese word? If that's not, I'll boot a head off.
You what? Well, look who's coming. A whole battalion's lost, and we gotta find Grayson.
Oh, man. Never thought I'd be so happy to see a bunch of Japs. Pardon me, I mean Japanese. I mean Nisi. No, that ain't it. What is it, Grayson?
Butterheads.
Okay.
We hit the ground. This time we were sure it was Krauts.
Must be 100 of them up on the hill.
Yeah. Hey, what is it they call you? Butterheads?
That's right.
You know, Grayson sure is touchy about that. I thought he was going to slug me a while ago.
Did you hear that, Sam?
I sure did. Hey, Lieutenant, how far away is the rest of your outfit?
Less than a mile.
When do we start?
We don't. Not with them Krauts on top of the hill.
Shall we try to move through them, Lieutenant?
Oh, wait a minute, Grayson. We're not going up that hill. They'd be shooting right down our throats.
We've got almost the whole platoon. What do you say, Lieutenant?
That's up to you, Sam. It's not my platoon anymore.
You want a bet? Fixed bayonets. Skirmish line up the hill.
Hey, Tommy, tell me something. What does Bakatari mean?
Well, freely translated, you're a heel. A stupid jerk and a heel.
That was putting it mildly.
Let's go!
Go for broke!
Go for broke! Go for broke! Go for broke!
And that's the story of how I got over being a Bakatari.
As our king!
Our thanks to you, Van Johnson, for a brilliant recreation of an excerpt from your latest picture, Go for Broke. Also to Henry Nakamura and Lane Nakano of the original cast, and the other fine supporting players. Oh, Van, darling, come here, darling. It's too bad we haven't the time, so we could have done more from this very important picture.
Well, I can do more for you, Tallulah, if you like.
I'm sure you could, darling.
I mean from the picture.
Yes, that's what I meant. These young ones are difficult, aren't they? Now, look, Van, sweetie, I have an idea. Why don't we do this? Now, after the show, I'll have loads of time.
Oh, good. I'll be glad to act out the whole picture for you.
I'm sure you would, darling. Of course, we'll drop in somewhere and have a cocktail, and then we'll go someplace nice for dinner. And then, if you like, you can rent a car and chauffeur, and we'll take a long drive, and then we'll drop in at Ciro's for the midnight show, and then we'll go dancing, and you'll pay the Oxford to play for us till early morning all my favorite records. Now, how's that sound, Van?
You mean go for broke? But when will I act out the rest of the picture?
He's so stupid, but so desirable. Now, look, Van, darling, if the expense bothers you, why don't you skip all the other stuff? You can come up to my apartment, huh?
Oh, that's good. Will I act up there?
If you want to act up.
Tallulah, you don't sound as if you're really interested in my acting the rest of this picture for you tonight.
Well, let's put it this way, darling. No, I'm not.
Well, I did have a sort of a tentative... I'll call you.
Oh, good. You know my number, darling.
Oh, sure.
What is it?
Oh, it's... let me see.
Crestview.
Yes, that's it. Crestview.
Crestview what? Go ahead. 7.
That's it. Crestview 7.
4.
4.
8.
8.
6.
6.
I knew you'd remember it, Van, darling.
Yes, I did, didn't I? Well, I guess I'll be going.
Well, you call me not later than 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. That's right.
And if I don't hear from you by 7, I'll call you at 5.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll...
I'm looking forward to this date, Van. It's been so long since we were out together.
But we've never been out together.
Doesn't that seem long to you, darling? You know, I don't usually ask men to take me to dinner. As a matter of fact, I have all sorts of invitations from some of the most handsome stars in Hollywood. Well, only yesterday, Taylor called and wanted to take me out tonight.
Oh, that Taylor Holmes is a nice old gentleman.
I am talking about Robert Taylor. And this morning I had an invitation from Gregory.
Oh, I know Mr. Radoff very well.
Gregory Peck. And this afternoon I had a call from that handsome Mr. Grant. Fool around with that.
My favorite general.
But not mine, Buster.
Well, I guess I'll be going now.
Oh, just a minute, man. Just a minute, darling. You know, we are singers short on our show this week. Bing couldn't make it. And weren't you once in musical comedy?
Well, I was a song and dance man in a couple of Broadway shows.
Well, then, darling, how about giving us a song, huh?
I haven't been singing much since I've been in pictures. My voice might crack.
Well, go for croak, kid.
Hiya, Bob.
Van, are you going to sing in Crosby's place?
Well, Tallulah was just saying...
And why couldn't he?
Yeah, I guess he could. They're both about the same weight. Of course, he's got it better distributed than Hippie. Go ahead and... Go ahead and sing, Van. I know Crosby's listening. He's down at the Thunderbird Ranch in Palm Springs. This will make him get better in a hurry. Why don't you dedicate your song to that poor sick old man? Or should that be that rich sick old man? Are you listening, Lard?
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.
Hey, Bing, you remember introducing that one back in 1892?
Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
Get up out of bed, Bing, because Van Johnson's an old Gary Crosby.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town.
Your fortune falling all over town. Bing, where's Everett? Is he sick too?
Be sure that your umbrella is upside down.
And this kid's got hair too, Dad.
Trade them for a barrel of sunshine and flowers.
You got the barrel, baggy boy.
Cause if you want the things you love, you must have showers.
Feel better, Dad? Those aren't spots in front of your eyes. Those are his freckles.
And when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree.
This boy's really gone, isn't he, Bing? I bet you wish he was.
There'll be pennies from heaven for you.
And Gary and Philip and Dennis and Lindsay and Dixie and Bob and Larry and Everett.
And me.
Thank you.
have been listening to Meredith Wilson and his big show, Chorus and Orchestra. We have a lot more show, and we'll be back in just a moment after I say, this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And this is listener-supported non-commercial radio. WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Radio Vault and the Big Show from 1951.
The Big Show. This is the National Broadcasting Company Sunday extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. The big stars on this program are Miss Ethel Barrymore, Joan Davis, Bob Hope, Van Johnson, Groucho Marx, Ezio Pinza, Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus, and every week, your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Darlings, this has been an exciting week. I'm talking about the Academy Awards. And what do you think? Now, this really will be a surprise. We've set up a special wire direct to Judy Holliday, who's in New York, and she's going to talk to all of us, and you'll be able to listen in. Now, this costs a lot of money, you know, especially since they raised the telephone rates in New York to 10 cents. But NBC spares no expense. Well, needless to say, we're especially thrilled, and we really are, about our own Judy Holliday being voted the best actress of the year for her performance in Born Yesterday. And we're doubly thrilled that Jose Ferrer, who appeared on our show first in his famous Cyrano de Bergerac, won the Best Actor Award. But the biggest thrill of all was when they voted my picture the best picture of the year. I mean, of course, all about me. Of course, I thought, you know who, had a pretty good chance. No, but honestly, and I'm speaking quite sincerely, I honestly consider her one of our finest actresses, and I'm not kidding, darlings. We gave a brilliant performance in that picture. And watch out for us next year.
Is this the Academy Award dinner? One vote for Groucho Marx and a hamburger sandwich.
Groucho! If it isn't Groucho Marx.
If it isn't Groucho Marx, why am I voting for him?
Well, now pandemonium will reign.
Oh, for Bob Hope, you rain pennies. For me, you rain pandemonium. Who wrote that joke? The head writer?
Waiter.
Well, I'm glad you're laughing. Tell that writer to turn in his head and leave. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, Academy Award. Pass the envelope, please.
Envelope?
Kettle?
Kettle.
Steam?
Steam.
Hot water and plenty of it. A star is about to be born.
Groucho, be serious.
No, not Groucho, be serious. He didn't win it this year. This award is for the best supporting actress of the year, and that award goes to Miss Karen Steele.
I never heard of her. Why should she win Best Supporting Actress Award?
I took her to the movies last night, and she supported me all the way down the balcony steps.
What was the picture you saw?
I don't know. We just spent the evening walking up and down the steps. It was a Russian picture.
Groucho, just a minute. Did you go to the Academy Award dinner?
No, I wasn't hungry. Besides, I don't believe in those Academy Awards. They're fixed.
Fixed?
Sure. Haven't you noticed that every year the award for Best Actress is won by a woman? That's chauvinism.
Now, Groucho, how can you say that? The awards are voted by male.
That's male chauvinism. You know the old saying, there's no venism like chauvinism. There will be a short pause here while everybody looks up chauvinism in the dictionary. Look under S. You won't find chauvinism there, but you'll find a lot of interesting words. You can't find your dictionary, look under D. You can't find D, find your glasses. You can't find your glasses, look on the bridge of your nose. Now you've got it. That's the unabridged dictionary. Say, this is a pretty educational program. Now, what was it you were saying?
Groucho, I've been listening to you with thinly veiled contempt.
Tallulah, they're not wearing those this year. But if you want to wear one, it's okay with me. No coaching. That's what bit USC, no coaching. USC, you're not the United States Cavalry, are you?
Groucho,
I'm walking over, no laughs.
No, shut up, Groucho. You're so wound up, I don't even think you know my name.
Of course I do. It's right on the edge of my lips.
I don't believe it.
Kiss me and I'll prove it to you.
Groucho, please.
No, no, say pretty please.
I never kiss a man with a mustache.
Well, take it off.
Groucho, cut it out.
Cut it out yourself. My hand isn't steady with a razor.
Oh, Groucho, darling, let's drop the subject.
How about the kiss?
We'll dispense with the subject with one small word, no.
You win the Academy Award for the best short subject.
Well, I'm going to change the subject.
In that case, I'll kiss the predicate.
I'm going to introduce Ezio Pinza.
Well, if that's the best you've got.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, star of Broadway South Pacific, star of MGM's Mr. Imperium, fasten your seat belt, ladies.
Belt,
Mr. Ezio Pinza. Groucho.
Hello, Tallulah.
Hello, darling. I want you to meet Mr. Pinza.
I'm sorry I can't get up. My seatbelt's fastened.
I have met Mr. Max on this program before.
Oh, sure. Hi, Izzy.
Hello, Julius.
Now, Ezio, what are you going to sing for us?
Oh, I am going to sing an aria from The Marriage of Figaro, Non più andrai.
Oh, another bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. What is the name of that song again, Mr. Pinza?
Non più andrai.
Non più andrai? Non means no. Pew, well, everybody knows what that means. And dry, no smell and it's dry? Oh, martini. Why didn't you say you were Nino Martini?
Me, Martini?
Okay, me, Manhattan. What do you have, Tallulah?
Well, I ought to have my head examined for introducing you to Mr. Pinza.
Sounds like a long drink, but if you want it, we'll make it.
Miss Bankhead, we're all ready to play for Mr. Pinza.
Well, if it isn't Meredith Wilson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marks.
Oh, Meredith, darling, will you get back on your stand and don't start any conversation with Groucho?
Meredith, do you know this song Pinza's going to sing, Non Più and Dry?
Why, certainly, Groucho. It's from The Marriage of Figaro.
Figaro's married? I better call up Hedda Hopper.
Meredith, will you please go back to your orchestra?
Well, what do you know? Figaro's married. I knew him when he had a barbershop with two chairs. Now he's got a wife and three kids. How's your wife, Meredith?
Oh, she's fine,
thank
you.
Where are you?
I'm over here. I wanted to say that she's
How's your
fine.
Wife? How's your wife, Meredith?
Well, she's fine, thank you.
Don't thank me. I don't even know her.
Well, it'll be a real pleasure to have you meet her.
That's your opinion.
Mr. Marks, I am not Martini. Nino Martini.
Give us the whole name, is he? Eh?
Nino!
You'll turn out to be a tall chico. Now, what did you say your name is?
I am not Nino Martini.
That's your opinion.
Now, Groucho, we're standing here wasting time.
That's everybody's opinion.
You're so right, darling. And now, if you will kindly step aside, I would like to present Mr. Ezio Pinza singing an aria from The Marriage of Figaro, Non Più Andrai, which Figaro sings before he gets married, and which, roughly translated, means, now my days of going out with other girls are over.
Oh, I know that song. Bye Bye Black Book.
Meredith, darling, music, if you please.
Non piangrai, farfallone amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando, delle belle quando è riposo, narcisetto a doncino d'amor. Delle belle tu quando hai riposo, Narcisetto adoncino d'amor. Non più avrai questi bei pennacchini, quel cappello leggero galante, quella chioma, quell'aria brillante, quel vermiglio donnesco color, quel vermiglio donnesco color. Non ti avrai dei pennacchini, quel cappello, quella chioma, quell'aria brillante. Non ti andrai farfallone amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando, delle belle tu quando hai riposo, Narcisetto adoncino d'amor. Delle belle tu quando hai riposo, Narcisetto adoncino d'amor. Ma perché mi puff al bacco? Rammustacchi, stretto sacco, schioppi spalla, schiablo al fianco, collo dritto, uso franco, un gran casco, un gran turbante, molto onor, poco contante, poco contante, poco contante. Ed invece del fandango, una marcia per il fango, per montagne e per valloni, con le nevi e i soglioni, al concerto di tromboni, di bombarde e di cannoni, che le palle in tutti i tuoni, all'orecchio fan fischior. Non ti avrai quei pennacchini, non ti avrai quel cappello, non ti avrai quella chioma, non ti avrai quell'aria brillante, non ti avrai farfallone amoroso, notte giorno d'intorno girando, delle belle tu quando hai riposo, Narcisetto adoncino d'amor. Delle belle tu quando hai riposo, Narcisetto adoncino d'amor. Cherubino è la vittoria, alla gloria mi ritor. Cherubino è la vittoria, alla gloria mi ritor. Alla gloria mi ritor. Alla gloria mi ritor.
There's a lovely poem by John Masefield, The West Wind. I've been privileged to have heard it read by the most thrilling voice in the world, the voice of the First Lady of the Theater, Miss Ethel Barrymore. And if that isn't enough, the musical background you will hear was composed by another member of this royal family, Mr. Lionel Barrymore. It's title Andante, and Meredith Wilson's orchestra will play it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my distinguished honor to present to you Miss Ethel Barrymore.
It's a warm wind, the west wind, full of birds' cries. I never hear the west wind, but tears are in my eyes. For it comes from the west lands, the old brown hills. and April's in the west wind and daffodils. It's a fine land, the west land, for hearts as tired as mine. Apple orchards blossom there, and the air's like wine. There's a cool green grass there where men may lie at rest, and the thrushes are in song there, fluting from the nest. Will you not come home, brother? You've been long away. It's April and blossom time, and white is the spray, and bright is the sun, brother, and warm is the rain. Will you not come home, brother, home to us again? The young corn is green, brother, where the rabbits run. It's blue sky and white clouds and warm rain and sun. It's song to a man's soul, brother, fire to a man's brain, to hear the wild bees and see the merry spring again. Larks are singing in the west, brother, above the green wheat. So will you not come home, brother, and rest your tired feet? I've a balm for bruised hearts, brother, sleep for aching eyes, says the warm wind, the west wind, full of birds' cries. It's the white road westward is the road I must tread, to the green grass, the cool grass, and rest for heart and head, to the violets and the brown brooks and the thrush's song, in the fine land, the west land, the land where I belong.
Ethel, darling, I'm at a loss for words.
I've been wondering when you'd run out. And for goodness sake, Tallulah, pull up your stockings.
Oh, Ethel, please. Don't talk like that. I'm grown up now. I'm not the 14-year-old child you knew when I first came to Broadway.
I always remember you as that 14-year-old child. No other living actress can make that statement.
Well, darling, I'm trying to maintain some dignity here. After all, I am in charge of the biggest show in radio.
This mishmash is the greatest show in radio.
Well, it's the only half an hour and a half, I mean, excuse me, Bing, hour and a half program on the air. Every Sunday I appear on this show for 1 hour and 30 minutes from start to finish.
You've changed, Tallulah. I never knew you to finish anything in an hour and 30 minutes, unless a possibly a man or two. What exactly do you do here, aside from smirking at your friends in the audience and violating every cardinal principle of theater deportment?
Well, Ethel, this is not the theater you brought me up in, darling. There is no barrier here between the audience and the performers, you see?
Oh, you've always lived dangerously.
And I have plenty to do here. Don't think this is an easy job, but the whole show rests on my shoulders. I introduce the guests, I chat with them, I do dramatic acting, I announce the auction numbers, I play comedy scenes with the comedians, I sing, I laugh, I cry, whatever the script calls for.
What else is there?
That's all there isn't any more.
What a lousy reading of that line. I must say, you have plenty of energy, Tallulah.
Well, darling, it's not as if I had a show to do every day. It's only once a week.
But getting these performers to come here, going to their homes, pleading with each of them.
Oh, I don't do that with all of them, Ethel, darling.
You mean you only came to my home and threw that hysterical fit, beating your breast, crawling about the house on your knees, then threatening to cut your wrist with an electric razor?
Pretty good performance, wasn't it, Ethel?
Road company, Judith Anderson.
Judith Anderson, I imitate no one.
No one, darling.
Well, after all, Ethel, you were the star I idolized, and I still do, in the theater. And you took me under your wing, and after all, you are the great lady of the theater, so I may have, I may have picked up a gesture or two.
Isn't she sweet?
Well, a word or two. Are you inferring that I'm a copy of you, when, as a matter of fact, I have been copied myself?
I have been copied to the letter.
That's who I'm talking about.
Well, I'll give you this, Tiddler. You're a better imitation of me than she is.
Well, thank you, darling. Coming from the original, who has spent so many years in the theater...
Oh, stop treating me as if I were the Queen Mother. Well, let's get on with this shindig. What do you want me to do now? Sing?
Sing?
Why not? I planned on singing Pennies from Heaven. If that stupid but desirable youth hadn't beaten me to it.
Oh, Ethel, I wish I'd known you wanted to sing. I would have saved it for you. I was just so glad and happy to have you grace our program with your presence, even if you have been making those cryptic remarks about it.
Well, I may be a little too harsh. I think you have a very fine show, Tallulah. It's adult, it's smart, it's filled with talent of the highest order. I think it's the best show in radio.
Oh, thank you, Ethel, darling. I'm so glad you feel that way. Would you like to come back again some week?
I'd rather die.
Wasn't that a lovely chat I had with Miss Ethel Barrymore? But now we must go on from the sublime to the ridiculous. Joan Davis. Joan Davis? That's all there is? There isn't any more?
What a lousy reading of that line.
Now, just a minute, Joan. I won't stand for that. I won't permit you to say a word about any Barrymore. They are the first family in the theater.
Well, so was my family. They were the first family in the theater. They always got in there before the prices changed.
Now, Joan. Joan, haven't you ever seen Miss Barrymore in The Corn is Green, De Classe, A Doll's House, School for Scandal, or as Ophelia, Portia, or Juliet? All those old wonderful classics. Have you ever seen her in them?
No, I never see those old things. I haven't got a television set.
Now, Joan, how stupid can you get?
Why, they put a ceiling on that, too?
Joan, my dear woman, now listen. Is there something special you want to do on the show?
Yeah,
let's
skip
right to it.
Well, I'm rushing it as it is, aren't I?
just can't say over on the page.
It said turn over fast, and I almost... Yes, Tallulah, darling, I am going to read a poem.
A poem?
Yes.
Joan, nobody follows Ethel Barrymore.
No? Gee, I have that trouble, too. I know just how she...
Poem, indeed. I can't hear you, Joan. Speak up. A poem, indeed. You'll read a poem here over my dead body.
Well, it's your body. You ought to know.
Joan, you're not going to start comparing your figure with mine.
Why, I can compare figures with anybody in Hollywood. I got a closet full of them.
Yeah, and right now, you look as if you forgot to take out the hangers. Listen, Tallulah, if we were in a contest, my figure would be way out in front. And vice versa.
It's going pretty far back for a joke.
Well, you started it, sister. And I did want to have some sort of dignity on this show with Miss Ethel Barrymore here.
Yes, and about Miss Barrymore, you introduced her to everybody on the show but me.
Well, Joan, Miss Barrymore is a distinguished personality of the theater.
Well, I know how to behave. I can be dignified. Introduce me, please.
All right, I'll hate myself in the morning. Ethel, Ethel, darling, may I present Miss Joan Davis? Joan, this is Miss Barrymore.
How do you do, Your Honor?
You may rise.
Well, it's easy to say. Give me time.
What is your name again, Charles?
The name is Joan. Joan Davis. Davis.
She's an imitation of Lionel, isn't she? What else she do?
Oh, Ethel Joan is quite talented. She's one of our most accomplished comedians.
Really? She doesn't look like a comedian.
She doesn't look like anything to me.
Do you girls mind if I lower my voice into this conversation?
Just exactly what is it you do, Miss Davis?
Me? Well, oh, I can, I do, well, I also, that is, I could, what was the question again?
Joan, Miss Barrymore wanted to know what you do.
Oh, trying to embarrass me in front of all these people. Well, do I ask her what she does?
Joan, now tell Miss Barrymore what you do.
Well, I just try to bring a little happiness to the people. In fact, I got a song here about happiness. Would you like to hear it?
Not particularly.
Ethel, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, that's a switch.
All right, Joan. Let's have your happiness song, darling.
Okay, and I hope that this will be a big hit because assisting me in this calypso will be one of the most expensive quartets in show business. Ezio Pinza, Groucho Marx, Bob Hope, and Van Johnson. I'm getting hot now, boys. How you like my rumba? Trouble is, I can't get it out a second here. He sits underneath a banana tree and sings to the workers on the rancho. He sings them a song of philosophy, and this is what's coming out of Pancho. Happiness, happiness, everybody's searching for happiness. Round and round, they all race, and everybody's searching in a different place.
Happiness, oh, happiness, happiness, oh, happiness.
What a quartet. Sounds more like the sextet from Leeching Nuts. The poor man, he would give his soul if only he had the rich man's gold. And the rich man, he would give his wealth if only he had the poor man's health.
Happiness, happiness, everybody's searching for happiness. Round and round, they all race.
Everybody's searching in a different place.
Happiness, happiness. Happy
hands,
happiness.
Thank you. No ad libbing. Oh, the single man, he wants a wife so he can be happy all his life. And the married man, he's happy, but he wishes he'd kept his big mouth shut.
Happiness, happiness. Everybody's searching for happiness. Round and round, they all race.
And everybody's searching in a different locality.
Happiness, 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 happiness.
Say, Joan.
Si, senor.
I want to tell you that's a very pretty dress you have on.
Thanks.
Where do you get him?
I buy him at Saks. That's why I look so sexy. Your friend, he buys a brand new car, so you buy one with more horsepower. Now your friend, he's mad at what you do. He can't kill the people as quick as you.
Happiness, happiness, everybody's searching for happiness. Round and round, they all race.
And everybody's searching in a different locality.
Happiness, happiness. Happiness, hop, happiness.
Happiness, hop, hop, happiness.
Happiness, ha, happiness.
Atta boy, happy old boy.
Everybody's searching for happiness.
Well, darlings, we have a lot more show for you. Bob Hope is due to come back in a moment with a few thousand well-chosen jokes, borrowed especially for this occasion. And I'm still waiting for that phone call I put through to Judy Holliday in New York, to say nothing of all the other distinguished members of this week's big show. But before that, Jimmy Wallington wants to say...
And now, Tallulah, if you'll ring your chimes.
Thank you, Jimmy. This, darlings, is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is the big show, and Tallulah Bankhead is about to introduce another guest.
Yes. It is not my pleasant a chore to call upon... It says not here, but I'm sure it must be now. It is now my pleasant chore... I have some difficult chore, but the not and the no... to call upon a young man who goes to New York next Sunday night at the Paramount Theater. He will be the master of ceremonies of the Damon Runyon Memorial Fund Benefit Show, with a host of great stars. This young man could be none other than Bob. If he does well on the benefit, he may be again regularly employed. Hope!
Oh, great. You introduced Ethel Barrymore as Miss Barrymore, but me as just plain old Bob Hope, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob, darling. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Bob Hope.
Thank you, Mr. Bankhead.
Bob, when you play that benefit in New York, you'll be making a personal appearance with your picture, The Lemon Drop Kid, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Confidentially, darling, how is the picture?
Well, I don't know, Tallulah. Most of the critics like Lemon Drop Kid, especially the big love scene at the finish. One columnist said Hope registered emotion like he was registering for the draft. The sneak preview I went to in Glendale was a great success. When I got up to leave, I was so proud I felt as tall as Gary Cooper. And the lady next to me made me give her back her shoes, and I listened. And I listened in the lobby to hear what the audience said on the way out. They all said the same thing. Where can I buy a television set? And to publicize the picture, they've arranged to put me on the cover of Quick next week. That's the tiny magazine where they don't use a photographer. They use an African head shrinker. I had to stop reading Quick at breakfast time. I kept buttering it and eating it with my coffee. Those magazines kill me, especially those fan magazines that always show those leading men flexing their muscles. Silly, my muscles flex too. In fact, if I don't get my Seroquel on time, they twitch. Alan Ladd shows his bare chest in the picture and gets 1,000 proposals. I showed my chest in the picture once. I got 2 fan letters from Gophers and a bottle of Lydia Pinkham's compound. But anyway, the heat is off in Hollywood now that the Academy Award is over. I went to the Academy Award the other night. I think I go there every year for my annual insult. When they start handing out those Oscars, I feel like a private who wandered into the Officers Club. It's a nice, dressy affair, and the Oscars are made of what little bit of gold is left in Hollywood after taxes. And I don't know how anyone could make such a fuss about a gold Oscar. After all, you can't take it with you. Anyway, that's what the detective at the door told me. The Lord knows I've got statues enough, my relatives. But you know... I'll work this way. Everybody was real excited. Bill Holden was biting his nails. Jimmy Stewart was biting his nails. Phil Harris was biting his cork. And I wouldn't say there were any disappointed actors there, but every time an actor asked the usher which way to the balcony, he said, "Do you want to smoke or jump?" All the movie folk were there. It was quite a sight watching the stars driving down from Warner's and Paramount and galloping down from Republic. These premieres here in Hollywood are really confusing. You can't tell whether those big searchlights in the sky are for an opening or whether they're just looking for a pedestrian who didn't come down. I didn't get out of my car right in front of the theater. The conductor told me no matter who I was, he only stopped at corners. But I love to go to those affairs. I really do. The audience is so swanky. When they leave their chewing gum under the seat, there's always a little flavor left in it. All the glamour girls were there. All the glamour girls wore their mink coats. Of course, a few of them came from rabbits. Quite a few from skunks. And you should see the... Don't leave me or I'll be back driving a cab. Naturally, you should see the mink and ermine. One star created quite a sensation when she walked in wearing Adrian personally. Everybody was a little nervous. One actor passed out. The only way they could revive him was by waving his fan mail in front of his face. But it was really exciting when it came time. What happened to that? But it was real exciting when it came time to pass out the Oscars. I said, "Am I going to get one?" And the guy cleared his throat. Then I cleared my eye. I had a chance. I had a chance last year to win the award for doing the most for the motion picture industry, but I refused to quit. But the way I figure, I haven't won an Oscar because I never play dramatic death scenes. Every time I get down on the floor over at Paramount, somebody shoves a scrub brush into my hand. Still haven't got a finish, have I? But there's been a definite trend in pictures lately. They've been doing the life of famous show people, like the life of Cole Porter, the life of Blossom Seeley, and Crosby's autobiography, The Life with Father. Monty Woolley plays Crosby as a boy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bob. They can laugh at you all they want to, but I think you're funny. Now, let me see. What was I about to... Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Peen's up. Hey, Joe, would you mind coming here a moment, darling?
Yes, Tallulah.
Hey, Joe, my sweet. You know what a devoted fan I am of yours. Nothing would thrill me more if you would do me a personal favor and sing a song just for me.
I will be very happy to.
Oh, Ezio, you would?
Just for you, Tallulah.
Ah, Ezio.
I will sing Andiamo from my latest picture, Mr. Imperium, soon to be released by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in all major cities, just for you, Tallulah.
Here's a guy who plugs his pictures while he's making love. Meredith, music, if you please, for Mr. Pinzo.
Andiamo, let's go. Andiamo, let's go. Andiamo.
Andiamo, andiamo, my bambina, let's go. Cara mia, look around you, what a beautiful show. So come with me presto, caro nome, my love. The sun is high above. Andiamo, andiamo for a glorious spring. How allegro, how vivace, how alive is the spring. And we are alive to each other, and so I sing fortissimo. Do you love
Lassie, lassie, do. If you love me, I'll be so bravissimo. Andiamo, andiamo, tu a il topo fine. We'll have pizza, antipasto, e some very good wine. So come with me presto, for time goes so fast. The bright bouquet, the perfect day, were never meant to last.
Andiamo, andiamo, my bambino, let's go. Cara mia, look around you, what a beautiful show.
Oh, come with me presto, caro nome, my love. The sun is high above.
Andiamo, andiamo, what a glorious thing. How allegro, how vivace, how alive is the spring.
And we are alive to each other, and so I sing for thee, do you love me? If you love me, I'll be so bravissimo. Andiamo,
andiamo,
to a hilltop of pine, with a pizza,
antipasto,
and some very good wine. So come with me presto, for time goes so fast. The bright bouquet, the perfect day, were never meant to last. Andiamo,
andiamo,
andiamo.
Oh, darling, that was divine. Simply divine. Well, darlings, I guess it's about time for that call to Judy to come through. I'll ask the operator. Hello, operator. On that call to Judy Holliday in New York. At Circle 7, 8301. We're ready to talk now. Now, everyone be quiet so we can hear what Judy has to say. Quiet, everybody. Yes, operator, I'll hold on. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, I'll hold on.
Hey, Hope. What is it, Groucho?
How many times you been on this big mouth show?
Well, I'm a three-time loser. How about you?
I'm a three-time loser, too.
Once more and you get life.
I could use a little. What do you think of the dames they always have on this show?
As a rule, I'm not too particular, but this is ridiculous.
When a guy's on a show, he likes to get dated with one of the girls.
Well, you can't say these girls aren't dated.
Well, enough feeding you straight lines. What am I going to do about getting a girl to go out with me after the show?
Well, I don't know why you should have any trouble. You're attractive, intelligent, generous, witty, desirable.
What are you doing after the show?
I'm going to be busy looking for the writer who gave you that joke.
Bob, you wouldn't dig him up just for that, would you?
Now, operator, operator. What do you mean she doesn't answer? Are you sure you're calling Judy Holliday? Yes, Judy Holliday, the movie star, you know, born yesterday. No, I don't want to talk to her mother in the hospital. I'm talking about Judy Holliday, who won the Academy Awards. She's the hottest thing in pictures, sought after by every producer and picture company in the business, throwing the most fabulous stars at her feet. You keep on ringing that number, darling. I keep on ringing. It's a candy store, but they'll call her. Yes, I'll hold on.
Fine thing. Look at the dames they get on this show, and they leave a doll like Judy Holliday in New York.
I wonder if she'd go out with me by phone.
Say, Groucho, what do you admire most in a girl?
Well, second. Hiya, fellas. What's going on here?
Keep moving, Van. We're busy.
This is man's talk. Beat it.
We're talking about finding us some girls.
Well, what's the matter with them over there? Aren't they girls?
If you have to ask, they're not.
Are you finished with me, fellas?
Yes.
Did I read that straight line all right?
Yes.
Bye now.
Bye now. Hey, Duck. Duck, here comes Joan Davis.
She does look like a duck, doesn't she?
It's good to see you.
Put me down, you fool.
Well, which one of you fellas is going to break down and take me to dinner after the show?
Well, Groucho is more broken down than I am. He'll take me.
Want Grouch?
No, she's all yours.
Now, don't fight over me, fellas.
I was waiting for the laugh.
Don't fight over me, fellas. It's enough here for both of you. Besides, if that's the way you're going to act... If that's the way you're going to act, I'm going to show you what I always do. I'll just go cha-doing after the show.
Cha-doing after the show. Well, what's cha-doing after the show?
Nothing, and that's a date. Yeah.
Trapped and by a corny joke.
Now, you just wait here. I'll go put on a new face and no cracks.
That's what she needs, a face with no cracks.
Hello. Wait a minute, I'm getting Judy. Quiet, please, darlings. Everybody quiet. Hello. This is Tallulah. Who's this?
This is Judy Holliday, that's who.
Judy, darling, congratulations. We're so excited here about the Academy Award. Everybody in the studio is so thrilled, Judy. Oh, they're all so happy for you, darling. I've got them all here with me. Bob Hope, Groucho Marx, Edgio Pienza, Van Johnson.
All those fellas there with you, and you're wasting your time calling me.
Now, Judy, this is no time to start that. We're all so happy you won an Oscar.
Don't you think it's time you won an Oscar? Or even a Charlie, or a Henry, or a George?
Now, look, Judy, don't waste time talking about that. This is long distance.
Oh, yeah, it's costing me money. I better hang up.
No, darling, it's not costing you. I'm the one who's calling.
Yeah, I know, but I had to come down to the candy store to answer the phone, and all the kids come in, and they made a big party out of it. The treat's on me. Licorice whips for everybody.
Well, darling, you shouldn't mind that. After all, isn't it wonderful that you won the award?
Oh, I should say. I'm the happiest girl in the world. Maybe not the world, but I'm the happiest girl in my neighborhood. I'm the first girl on my block to win an Academy Award.
Judy, darling, everybody here wants to talk to you. Here's Edgio Pienza.
Hello, Miss Holliday.
Hiya, Joe.
My congratulations to you, Miss Holliday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you like Tallulah?
Oh, yes, very much.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Let me talk to one of the other fellas.
Hello, Judy.
Which fella are you?
This is Tallulah, darling.
You're talking too low again, Tallulah.
Judy, here's Van Johnson.
Hiya, Judy.
How you doing?
Judy, I was so happy to hear you won the award. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Do you like Tallulah?
Oh, I'm crazy about her.
Are you married?
Yep.
Let me talk to another fellow.
Judy, darling, now I want you to talk to Bob Hope.
Hello, Judy, baby. This is Bob. I'm glad you won the Oscar, Hope, telling you to stay right in there and keep on punching, Judy.
How you do? Do you like Tallulah?
Oh, sure.
Are you married?
Yes.
Happily?
Yes.
Let me talk to one of the other
And now, Judy, darling, hold on. Groucho Marx wants to talk to you.
Hello, Judy. This is Groucho. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Hey, you like Tallulah?
Like a brother.
Let me talk to one of the other fellas.
There are no other fellas around. How about you and me going out on a date tonight?
Tonight? I'm in New York.
Well, you go to the Star Club, I'll go to the Brown Derby. Separate checks, of course.
Oh, Judy, here's Joan Davis, darling.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, you do?
Oh, gee, kid, I'm sure happy you won that Academy Award.
Thank you, Miss Davis. I'm sorry you lost.
Oh, boy, have you got the wrong Davis.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. Aren't you the Miss Davis who was interested in All About Eve?
No, all Miss Davis cares about is All About Adam.
And now, Judy, darling. Judy, I saved her for the last. Here she is, Miss Ethel Barrymore.
Hello, Judy, dear.
Miss Barrymore, if I may step out of character for a moment, may I say that, of course, it was a thrill to win the Academy Award, but the extra thrill of having you accept my award for me was really more than I deserved. It's something I'll never forget, and you'll always have my eternal thanks. And that goes for your friend Tallulah, for being such a wonderful friend to me.
That was a lovely speech, Judy.
Thank you, Miss Barrymore.
And may I hope, Miss Barrymore, that if everything turns out well for you and Tallulah, next year it'll be Mrs. Barrymore and Mrs. Bankhead.
Well, darlings, that's our show from Hollywood. We're off for New York again tonight, and next week our stars will include Fred Allen, Vivian Blaine, Jimmy Durante, Portland Hopper, Jane Morgan, Ruta Valli, the cast from the exciting Broadway production Green Pastures, and others, and, of course, our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Oxford Chorus. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. Judy?
May you find that long-awaited golden day today, Bob.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10, Joan.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Meredith?
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. Groucho?
May you find that silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Bam!
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. Miss Barrymore?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Ezio?
May you long recall each rainbow. Then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the one that will remain.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet. Till we
good night, darlings, and Godspeed to our armed forces all over the world who hear these broadcasts each week.
to The Big Show next Sunday, when it will come to you again from New York. And the guests will be Fred Allen, Vivian Blaine, Jimmy Durante, Portland Hoffa, Jane Morgan, Rudy Valley, the cast from Green Pastures, and others. Meredith Wilson and The Big Show Orchestra and Chorus, and of course, as always, your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. The Big Show is produced and directed by D. Engelbach and written by Goodman Ace, Selma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking. Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Later is Theater Guild on NBC.
All right, how about that? The Big Show, Tallulah Bankhead, Bob Hope, and a host of others. Original broadcast date on that one, April 1st. Over 70 years ago in 1951. Thank you. To wrap up today's Radio Vault, and don't forget, as usual, we will have another installment of Sunday Night Mysteries, WHFR's very own program of mystery, intrigue, dangerous adventures. On Sunday night, how about that? Right after Hot Wax Radio. All the festivities are on Sunday night. And then again, more of what you heard today in another week. Every Tuesday from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock. Coming up in just a matter of moments, top of the hour, we have got Mountain Stage, the current Mountain Stage program, and another installment of This Just In. Right here in your very own station that's making the waves and has done so for just about 40 years. Can you believe it? It's absolutely true, and you need to be part of the celebration. Radiothon kicks off this weekend. We'll hope to talk to you then. Have yourself a good day. We'll catch you again soon. See ya. We're going to leave you with a little Ramsey Lewis.
many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
I knew there was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future driven.
Henry Ford College, future driven.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
There's a spring in the mountain and it flows down to the town.
From NPR Music and produced by West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support provided by Bailey Glasser. Welcome to another mountain stage with our host, Kathy Matea.
There's a song in my heart, just a simple little tune. But the rhythm and the melody won't leave me alone. Around the world, it's just a simple song. This world is turning.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome once again to Mountain Stage, live performance radio from the mountain state of West Virginia. I'm Kathy Matea, and we are at our home, the Culture Center Theater here in Charleston, West Virginia, and we're happy to be with you, and happy all of you joined us out there on the radio, too. You'll be glad because this week we welcome some absolute legends of jazz and funk fusion, still making incredible new music. The Headhunters are here tonight.